about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I cannot believe this stuff is on the radio. I'm sorry. I've got to collect myself because this is what our youth is being subjected to.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
I'll show you some material, you'll know.
Oh, God.
Do it well.
Oh, yeah.
No.
G-g-ga.
Dusty cow tie.
Oh,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. It's great.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So good.
Just as hard.
Smell it.
It was terrific.
Yes.
All right, clean it out of here.
Lady Gaga!
Get a day job.
And now, I used to hate mornings, like those cats on the coffee cups. But now I love them because of this show.
Our feature presentation.
Well, thank you, sir. That's very sweet. And welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Monday, the 9th of January. Hey, Allie McKay.
You think maybe a little early and Monday for that?
I have to tell you, when you and Jerry Lewis were doing it,
I know.
I was surprised that there is a sex move known as the Dusty Cowtown.
Oh, let me tell you, he has perfected it.
I am concerned what that involves.
He said it hasn't changed
at all. Since 1947.
Yes.
Hey, where's the monkey?
He is sick.
Is sick or sick?
He's sick.
Is that in quotes? Or?
I don't. That's all we know. We got an email saying wasn't feeling good, sick.
I had him missing his first day of 2017 in the office pool last week.
You did?
Yes.
Okay.
Darn it.
So our first week back, you had him out one of those days.
I had him out one of those days, yeah. But
we
besides the day that we were already off, the
right.
Monday, right, exactly.
Okay.
But he waited until week two, so it's a new Kevin.
It is.
2017 Kevin.
He's all grown up.
Very impressive. How was your weekend?
It was really good. How
was
yours?
Was it super rainy?
It wasn't. This was the first rain. It started about 3 hours ago, and it is coming down.
Yeah. Oh, my God, it's raining!
Yeah, it's kind of nice.
Yeah, I know that the reputation in much of the country is they laugh at Southern Californians for overreacting to the rain. But today, I think legitimately, you can say, yeah, it's pretty, it's really serious out there.
Yeah, we might have flash floods. It's pretty exciting. All stay right. Inside, you guys. Just don't go to work.
Drought or no drought? Where are we on that?
Oh, still way big drought.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. You don't get rain for 3 days and a 6-year drought is over, Bean.
Well, that's true.
I don't want to have to explain heart attacks to you again.
I know we're going to spend a lot of today talking about last night's Golden Globes, but I did want to bring up Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds for 1 minute because I was trying to remember in previous years when I watched the Golden Globes, do they usually not do an in memoriam? Is that usually just an Oscar and an Emmy thing?
Because I was trying to figure that out, too, because they did a mini in memoriam, which is her and her mother. But
just a 1 minute deal on just those two celebrities.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, what, do you have to die within 2 weeks to get mentioned at the Golden Globes?
Or it's only new. It's new death.
That was weird, wasn't it?
It was odd. It was odd. But it was great to see the two of them.
Oh, sure. It was. I mean, they had obviously a very, very special relationship. They were as close as mother and daughter could be. They died within a day of each other just a couple weeks ago. You know, they lived next door to each other.
Yeah, that compound is amazing.
The compound is something else. And HBO had that documentary already in the chamber that they were going to air in March, and they moved it up, and it aired this past Saturday night. Please tell me that you saw it.
I saw it.
What do you think? What are your takeaways from watching the life of Carrie Fisher and her mom, Debbie Reynolds, on TV?
To be honest, it sounds so stupid because I didn't know either of them from Adam, but it gave me peace that this is how it was supposed to be. This is how everything was supposed to happen. They're not supposed to live without each other.
They're like that married couple for 65 years that's inseparable and inconsolable alone.
Maybe even more so. I don't know. There was just such a deep connection, and the way they interacted with each other was so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And you saw Debbie Reynolds in it deteriorating more and more. And I don't know if I'd want to see Carrie Fisher having to deal with that.
Yeah.
So it made me happy by the end of it. It was very bizarre. I was expecting to sob during it. It was so beautifully done and
but
so Carrie touching.
Carrie was only 60. She was definitely way too young to die, though. I kept thinking as I was watching this that, you know, it looked like, if you're watching this movie, it looked like the mom was deteriorating, as you mentioned, and
yes.
was probably in ill health and probably going to die. But there's no reason for the daughter to have died.
All those Coca-Colas and cigarettes?
Well, she didn't have a great diet.
It was some of the funniest stuff. Her dietitian
so
in London
manic.
Telling her no more, and he'd be pouring it out, and then you'd see another assistant just bring it right back into the kitchen. Amazing.
Yeah, she didn't let people tell her what to do, did she?
Oh,
but wasn't she so manic, though? I mean, and so I felt like she was a tortured soul.
Oh,
she had so many voices
absolutely.
In her head that she exhausted herself just day to day.
And the fact that she takes care of her mother. And then at the end was taking care of Eddie Fisher. This
yeah.
is a woman that has been giving of herself completely her whole life. She needed a break.
Yeah, it was a real well done show. And because they were all so famous from so young, there's so much video too.
Oh,
and that was
so good.
What was incredible. I mean, I may have a handful of photos from me as a little kid, but I felt like they shot film every day with those little kids.
Well, remember what Debbie Fisher said? She said, "I shot all this film so you'd think you had a happy childhood. Look at you smiling all the time." It's amazing.
What about, hey, I'm a virgin and I don't want my boyfriend to know, so I'm going to ask my friend to deflower me just
yes.
so I've got some experience under my belt before I go for the real thing.
That conversation was hysterical. It was Dominic Dunn, her best
Griffin
friend
Dunn.
From youth, essentially. But what got me was she said, my mom wanted to get me a guy to lose my virginity to, and she'd be in the room kind of giving us pointers. It's like, what the hell's going on?
That was weird. Is that a thing, by the way, which
no.
is, hey, I'm going to have my friend take my virginity so that I get that out of the way before I go out with my boyfriend? That was an oddball conversation.
So. Maybe it was just a comfort thing. She didn't want to have sex with the guy, her first to, I don't, yeah, I got nothing.
All right.
Can't even explain it.
What about the crazy lady married to the brother, Todd Fisher, who carries her emotional support chicken with her everywhere she
emotional
goes?
Emotional support chicken. And I was trying to figure out who she was because she looked so familiar. And then it clicked mm-hmm. right when she showed the Knight Rider car. I was like, and she was on Knight Rider.
Yeah.
Totally remember her.
It was a bizarre show, you guys.
So good.
Yeah. You ought to check it out if you're at all interested. And there's a lot of Star Wars stuff in there, too. So if you love Carrie from Star Wars, I think you'll find it interesting. But, I mean, it was a tremendous access, too, into their private lives, which you don't see. I mean, this was definitely not a sanitized documentary. There were some parts that were very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But worth checking out. All right. Big, 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 big show today. Let's talk about what's going on, shall we?
What? No, y'all had all that going on.
Well, we got a lot going on because, as I mentioned, the Golden Globes, the 74th Annual Golden Globe Awards were held last night. They may still be going on for all I know. I think I dozed off at about hour four. But we got some highlights of that coming up. We also have Andrew Siciliano talking about the NFL Wild Card Weekend. So the Dolphins move on to play whom, Chip?
No, we're now on a 34-week bye.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, it's a long bye.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye weeks are great. You should love that.
Oh, no. Totally stoked.
We have Ali's Conspiracy Corner on the program today. I'm looking forward to that. We've got Harvey Levin in the newsroom at TMZ.com. We also have a couple of great giveaways on the show today. We're giving away, just like we did last year, we're giving away one of those ski trips to Crested Butte in Colorado.
Oh, so beautiful.
I mean, how about that?
Yeah.
It's a ultimate getaway prize package to a ski resort in Colorado at the Crested Butte. So we're going to give that away. We got Clippers versus Thunder tickets. That's a great rivalry. We got those tickets you can win on the program today. We got that new film Split. Rob's going to give you tickets for an advanced screening of that. That looks amazing. And just announced, you two at the Rose Bowl, ladies and gentlemen.
And
May
not
20th.
Just any U2, right?
Yes, this is the Joshua Tree Tour, the 30th anniversary of the Joshua Tree, their album that came out 30 years ago this March. They'll be performing it in its entirety, in addition to other songs from the great band U2. Lumineers opening up May 20th at the Rose Bowl. We also have tickets for you to win that this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. And Ralph's got the first look at the showbiz beat right after this on K-Rock. If you're hoping to wake up to a searing guitar solo, that one is for you here on the Kevin and Bean Show at 106.7 KROQ. It is Monday morning. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey, boys and girls.
How was your weekend?
Great, thanks.
Awesome.
Monday morning, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Number one for the fourth week in a row, Rogue One. Came out on top with $22 million this weekend. Hidden Figures debuted with $21.8 million.
Are you sure that isn't Hidden Fences? Because that's all I heard about on the Golden Globes last night, was a film called Hidden Fences.
Yeah, a lot of people made that mistake last night. Sing was number three. Underworld Blood Wars debuted with $13.1 million. Then La La Land, last night's big winner at the Golden Globes, came in at number five. I'm sure it'll do better next weekend with all that exposure. Passengers was six. Why Him, Moana, Fences, and Assassin's Creed rounding up your top ten at the box office. While we're talking about the Golden Globe Awards, it was La La Land that took home the most awards last night. A record-breaking seven statues, including Best Musical or Comedy. Only One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and Midnight Express had been bigger winners up to that point with six awards each, so it is the most awarded Golden Globes nominee in film history, so... Congratulations to that.
I wonder about this because it's so arbitrary and it's just.
It's all over the place, these awards.
But I wonder if you look at performances like Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone did and you thought, how many other actors could do those roles in terms of not only the acting but the singing and the dancing? I wonder if it's a degree of difficulty type thing.
There's very few triple threats.
That's for sure.
In show business these days. Not like it used to be. Used to be back in the days of the studio system, they would take their young stars and groom them and force them to learn singing and dancing and everything. They would have to know all of the different aspects of performing in order to work in a studio, but it's a rare talent these days to be able to do it all. Although you have people like Anna Kendrick, and I mean, there's tons of talented people who can sing and act. Dancing's a little bit harder, but as Emma Stone said last night, thanks to her very patient choreographer, she was able to put it all together. Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone did win for their roles in that film as well. Casey Affleck won for Best Actor in a Drama with Manchester by the Sea. And finally, Isabelle Huppert got her just desserts for Elle.
Right?
Right? She's crazy.
Thank God. She was not going to let that music wrap her up.
No. She was on a mission.
A lot to say.
And Paul Verhoeven, too. No one's ever been happier to be in a movie that no one's ever heard of than those people. So congratulations. Aaron Taylor Johnson for Nocturnal Animals won Best Supporting Actor in a Motion Picture. Viola Davis for Fences got the same award for an actress. Zootopia was Best Animated Feature. Damien Chazelle, no surprise, La La Land, got him the Director Award. Screenplay as well went to La La Land. Best Score to La La Land. Original Song. And Best Foreign Film went to Elle.
I will tell you, we didn't have an office pool, but if we did, I would have come in dead last in terms of the things that I thought were going to win compared to the things that did win last night.
You didn't think La La Land was going to sweep?
No, I thought that would win a few, but in a lot of the categories, like I would have put big money on Sterling K. Brown, for instance, winning his Golden Globe, and he didn't. And also Courtney B. Vance, and he didn't. I mean, there were a lot of them that I was real surprised to see who picked up the award.
In television, The Crown won for Best Drama Series.
Would never have predicted that as much as I loved it.
That's why these awards are all over the place, because it's the foreign press, and what they're reacting to is very different from what may be popular or hip or getting attention here in the States. It's just, it's a different mindset. Billy Bob Thornton, for example, winning for Goliath. Got me. Never seen an episode. I have no
it's
idea.
It's on Amazon. I would have been wrong on that one, too.
He is such an odd pickle.
He is an odd man. Yes.
I love it.
Claire Foy, also won for The Crown. Best TV Series Musical Comedy went to Atlanta. Donald Glover also won for his work on that series.
Should have won for his velvet suit, too.
Right?
Looked fantastic.
Tracy Ellis Ross won for Blackish. She does great work on that show. People vs. O.J. Simpson, American Crime Story, won for Best Limited Series. Tom Hiddleston and Hugh Laurie and Olivia Colman all won for their work on The Night Manager. I was happy to see that. It was a brilliant series. And Sarah Paulson won for her work in The People vs. O.J. Simpson. Once again, for her work as Marcia Clark. So that was pretty much it. Of course, Meryl Streep did win for the B. DeMille Award for Lifetime Achievement. And she took the opportunity to get up on stage and dress down President-elect Donald Trump. And surprise, surprise, you may be surprised to hear this. Donald Trump was rather sensitive to it and started tweeting this morning in response.
I can't believe that.
It's all true.
No.
He responded to something an actor said about him on TV. Shouldn't he have other things to do?
Usually he doesn't care what people in show business have to say about him.
But thin-skinned,
in this particular case, he was very upset about her criticism of him. And he went on the Twitter rampage this morning to defend himself. Because that's really the most important thing, Donald, is to make sure Meryl Streep loves you.
She's a mess. A total mess.
I don't know about that. Here's what he tweeted. Meryl Streep, one of the most overrated actresses in Hollywood, doesn't know me, but attacked last night at the Golden Globes. But then he added that she was a Hillary flunky who lost big. And that's why she was upset with what he was done. She mentioned that time he imitated that reporter when he mocked that reporter.
Yeah.
And Trump denied that vigorously on Twitter this morning, saying, "For the 100th time, I never mocked a disabled reporter. Would never do that." But simply showed him groveling when he totally changed a 16-year-old story that he had written in order to make me look bad. Just more very dishonest media.
Wow.
So there you go.
I did not have overrated in the Trump pool of what he would say about
Meryl
Streep.
Didn't?
No, I did not have overrated.
I thought for a minute, I thought a white hot second that's where he was going to go.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's always, everybody's always overrated and sad and the worst and New York Times, horrible newspaper. He always goes exactly opposite of whatever the truth is.
I also figured Meryl was way too old for him to care about, but.
Oh, no. He might as well just pass the everybody has to love me law now and get it out of the way so we don't have to deal with this for the next 4 years. But he hates it when show business doesn't love him.
Yeah.
He really does. Like Saturday Night Live gets under his skin so much, too.
It's just, it's nuts. But we only have 4 more years of it, so.
Or 8.
You watch your mouth, mister. I will wash it out with soap. Today's celebrity birthdays, Led Zeppelin guitarist Jimmy Page is 73 years old today. Actor J.K. Simmons is 62. Dave Matthews turns 50. A.J. McClain of the Backstreet Boys is 39. And actress Nina Dobrev, the lovely and talented, is 28 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Highlights from last night's Golden Globes Award telecast coming up in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin DeBean Show on Q-Rock. Didn't you think that God was stepping in when Jimmy Fallon's teleprompter went down, Alan? Didn't you think, finally, we're getting him, somebody's giving him the message.
We get to see him improvise, though, and that's going to work out.
Which is what he's best at. Anyway, that's coming up right after we talk to Harvey Levin in the newsroom at TMZ.com. Harvey, I feel like it's been a million years since we had you on the Kevin DeBean Show. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing great. I laughed out loud, and I'm sure this is old news for you, but I don't think we've had a chance to talk about it. When I first started seeing the Progressive insurance TV commercial that parodies the TMZ newsroom, oh my God, how funny is that?
And they've been running that forever. I thought it was.
I know, but I started seeing it over the holidays, and I laugh every time I see that actor playing you with his giant cup to yell at people in the newsroom. It's so funny. What did you think when you saw it?
I think it's funny.
Yeah, it's good, right?
I think it's pretty good.
All right. Well, you got a lot of new stuff on the site, including a brand new story. And I have to be honest, I was very surprised to see this because I just assumed as many weeks as have passed since that robbery in Paris that whoever ripped off the Kardashians got away with it. But it doesn't look like it.
Well, not just that. I'm shocked. This is a, as Hillary Clinton might have said, a vast right-wing conspiracy. It was a huge conspiracy, apparently, at least according to cops. It was 17 people arrested in 5 cities.
What?
And I know. And the funny thing is that one of the things that did them in was DNA, that they didn't think about it, but the cops were able to get DNA off of the gag that they used to silence Kim, and they were able to use that along with surveillance video to kind of figure out the network. But they've got 17 people in custody right now, and that doesn't mean all of them are going to be charged, but they clearly think this was a huge plot. This was not just a couple of rogue guys.
At the time that you guys broke the story, and how long ago, how far back are we talking now, Harvey? When did the robbery happen?
I think it's like October 2nd.
Okay. How many people did we think were involved at that time just based on eyewitness reports?
Three were involved, and that was it.
Yeah, that's why I'm so surprised when I saw that number, 16 people. Now, why is it spread out among different cities? 17 people. How were the other people all involved then if they weren't on the ground in Paris?
They haven't said yet, but... That and it may be that they just dispersed and went to different places, but you know, they're saying 5 different cities, 17 people.
How about that,
Harvey? Conspiracy theory for you. The reason Kim has been out of the spotlight for so long, yes, it was traumatic, was awful. That also got her butt implants taken out. True?
Oh, my God.
Have you heard this?
I have not heard that.
Yeah, she's been keeping a low profile while that heals, and then she'll reveal it, and people will be like, what happened to her butt?
Are you saying there wasn't a robbery and this whole thing
was a
ruse?
Oh, no, there was a robbery. I believe that. No, that would be insane.
Oh, so
that
the silver lining of the robbery is the butt thing.
Yes. She had some time, some downtime to finally get those taken out.
You know what? Let's talk about the grassy knoll next time.
Right? I'm just saying. Look into it, Harvey.
Okay. What's the final, before we move on, Harvey, what was the final number on how much was stolen in that robbery?
Everybody's saying it was $10 million. It's not. It was $5.6 million. That was the insurance claim. Still a lot of money. But one ring was $4 million.
If you had a
Clearly cheap jewelry.
Yeah, right. Yeah. If you had a $4 million ring, Harvey, would you wear it? Would you travel with it?
Look, you are talking to a guy who thinks jewelry... I mean, I shouldn't say this. I mean, he's going to piss off half the people, but really, what do I care at this point? I think jewelry is so stupid.
Stupid.
It's just stupid that it basically... It puts people in hawk. It creates ridiculous expectations. Mm-hmm. You've got to keep upping the ante. I don't get jewelry.
Understand. It does seem for some people that there's no such thing as too much bling, doesn't it?
I know. And I mean, I'm sure a lot of people say he's an idiot, and I've heard it in my newsroom, but that's kind of the way I feel.
All right. Moving on. Charles Manson. Now, here's a name who has been out of the news for a long time, unless you've been watching the NBC Aquarius show about his crime rampage in the 1960s. But he's still alive, but not for long, it looks like.
Yeah, he had some kind of gastrointestinal bleeding. We found out that he was taken from Corcoran Prison, where he's supposedly going to spend the rest of his life, to a Bakersfield hospital about a week ago. And he was supposed to get surgery. At first he said no. Then he had a change of heart. But on Thursday, the doctor said, you know what, we want to do it, but he's too weak. And they didn't know what to do, so they took him back to the prison because it was a security risk. But what we're being told is he's really doing badly there. They don't know what to do with him. So it sounds like Manson may not be long for this world.
No one is sad about this news, though, right? I mean, we're fine to let him go.
He's a monster.
Yeah.
He's a monster.
You know, Harvey, I wish he would come forward for you, because I think there'd be some good information for TMZ. But we have a listener who checked in with us whose girlfriend was one of his nurses in the hospital in Bakersfield.
Oh, my.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, because we were talking last week about what it would be like for those people in that hospital who show up for work that day. And, who's the new patient on the ward?
Charles Manson. We talked about this in the newsroom. You got to remember, too, he's 82 years old and sick, and he's not the one that committed the murders.
Yes. But he's still a crazy old man with a swastika carved into his forehead, Harvey. It's still kind of weird. But anyway, so this listener of ours, whose girlfriend is the nurse in Bakersfield, he tried to get her to take his copy of the book Helter Skelter to the hospital to get an autograph.
Oh, okay, my God.
And she wouldn't do it, because she probably would have been fired if she had asked. But she wouldn't do it. But I just thought you would enjoy that story anyway. So.
What is wrong with her listeners?
That's insane.
My God.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, he's just there. He's not doing anything, right? Guy probably just figured it would take him 5 seconds to do it. What a cool item to have.
Okay,
but
no. That's crazy.
Thank you.
Kim Kardashian, Charles Manson, so much more, including some Golden Globes fallout at TMZ.com. Don't forget all the TMZ TV shows throughout the day on Channel 11. Don't forget TMZ Sports airing Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. And get the tour. Hey, kids, go on the tour if you haven't yet at TMZ.com. Harvey, Happy New Year, my friend. Great to have you on again. We'll talk soon.
Same, guys. See you.
Bye-bye. U2 is playing the Rose Bowl on May 20th with the Lumineers in support. We'll tell you how you can win your tickets coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on K-Rock. Very soon, we're giving away U2 tickets right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Big night at the Golden Globes last night for La La Land, as Ralph told you. Also for The People versus O.J. Simpson, for Moonlight, for Atlanta Alley.
Mm-hmm.
I could almost hear you squealing those wins.
Yeah.
But look, award shows are not for everybody. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have other things they want to do on Sunday night. Mm-hmm. They don't have 3 hours to watch these shows. So we're going to condense it down with some highlights now from last night's 74th Annual Golden Globe Awards. What did you like, Allie?
You say 3 hours, but God, it felt so much longer.
It sure did. An hour in, I felt like it was about 2.5 hours in.
well, it's no secret that not many of us on the show are fans of Jimmy Fallon. And by not many, none of us. But I did think the pre-recorded intro, the La La Land theme, was great.
I did, too, with a lot of really big stars singing and dancing, parodying that freeway scene from the movie. I thought that was really good.
So I had a little bit of hope. I was like, okay, this will be fine. Until Jimmy Fallon came out, the big introduction, here he is on the stage. He's just about to go into his monologue, and this happened.
Thank you. Thank you so much, everybody. Welcome to the Golden Globes. Already the teleprompter's down, so this is a great way to start the show. I can do impressions. What do we do here? I can think of something. Cut to Justin Timberlake, please, and then he'll do something. Wink at me or something, yeah. Yeah, this is great. We have another monitor coming in. I could just, you know what, I'll make up this monologue.
That was awkward.
It was real awkward. I feel like you're up there for a reason. Just be funny. Mm-hmm. Say something funny. Quick, do something. It just felt like it was just way too much. Who's with me?
I'm with you.
Okay. Well, at least then we got to hear his amazing impressions. Because if anything, Chris Rock needed to come out. Good Lord. I should have called in sick. Jimmy Fallon does an amazing Chris Rock impression. Here it is.
I can't even believe I'm hosting the Golden Globes. I got advice from everybody. Chris Rock said, a lot of great shows this year. People vs. OJ gonna win. People going to get up there and say, I couldn't have done it without Ryan Murphy. I couldn't have done it without my agent, my manager. I'll tell you the one person you couldn't have done it without, OJ.
That went on for another minute.
He doesn't sound anything like Chris Rock.
Nothing like Chris Rock.
And I was trying to tell if the people in the audience were, was that courtesy laugh? Is that what that was?
I think it was, oh my God, please stop. Please. Oh, this is so awkward. Well, I don't know if you know, but every Golden Globes, they have a child, a daughter of one of the celebrities come out, and they are considered the Miss Golden Globes. But this year, it was Sylvester Stallone's three daughters. So it was three for the price of one, basically. But the intro of them was from Sofia Vergara. And I want to see if you had the same feeling I did after watching this.
Good evening. The Hollywood Foreign Press Association has an anal tradition. I didn't mean anal. I mean, they have an anus tradition. They have a tradition that they do every year.
We get it. You have an accent.
She has an accent. I'm very surprised that Sofia Vergara keeps agreeing
to
do that bit because she is a super – I mean, she's the highest paid woman in television. She's so smart. She's so funny. She's so talented. Yeah, she has an accent. Get over it.
Yeah. Why are we doing this every single time
she
she's on a stage?
Speak? Right. It's kind of dumb.
It felt just demeaning and icky to me.
Yeah, I agree.
Speaking of far from demeaning and icky, Ryan Gosling, good Lord, best actor in a musical or comedy for La La Land. But here's where you just realize why he's the best, because he went through, thanked everybody that was in the movie with him, and then thanked his wife, Eva Mendes.
We'd like to try and thank one person properly and say that while I was singing and dancing and playing piano and having one of the best experiences I've ever had on a film, my lady was raising our daughter, pregnant with our second, and trying to help her brother fight his battle with cancer. If she hadn't have taken all that on so that I could have this experience, it would surely be someone else up here other than me today. So, sweetheart, thank you.
Oh,
come on,
man.
Look,
Lady Boner.
First of all,
R.I.P. Carlos.
But second of all, he is just, he's perfection, isn't he?
Just so classy.
And I didn't, it seemed, look, there were a lot of people who were very excited to get up on stage and win an award. But I didn't get a lot of, like, really heartfelt moments from the show last night. There wasn't much of that. I mean, Meryl Streep obviously was very passionate about the topic that she chose to spend her time with. But Ryan Gosling, I mean, that was to me, a very genuine moment. And just beautifully said. And, he's the real deal right there.
Absolutely. Hugh Laurie, he won Best Supporting Actor in a miniseries for The Night Ranger.
Night Manager.
Come on, Sister Christian, who's with me? But a lot of people laughed because this might indeed be the last ever Golden Globes.
What? Thank you, first of all, to the Hollywood Foreign Press Association for this amazing honor. I suppose made more amazing by the fact that I'll be able to say I won this at the last ever Golden Globes. I don't mean to be gloomy. It's just that it has the words Hollywood, Foreign, and Press in the title. I just don't know what.
A lot of people don't know if they only know Hugh Laurie because they watched him on House. They don't know he has a long history of being hilarious.
Absolutely.
He's a very, very funny guy who's done lots of work in Britain and every place else where he's been a comedian. And you can always count on him for a great speech. That was a great line.
I loved it. Very good stuff.
And that Night Manager, by the way, mm-hmm. I don't think got the acclaim at the time it was on that it deserved. I mean, clearly the Hollywood Foreign Press loved it because look at all the awards that it won last night. It's still out there. You should go watch that if you didn't. It's only 6 episodes and it's tremendous.
Same with Night Ranger. I mean, go listen.
Night Ranger
it
too,
is timeless and you will love it. Donald Glover, who is, as everybody who listens to this show knows, that he's my favorite. So I was rooting for him, and Atlanta wound up winning Best Musical or Comedy TV Series. But who he thanks for it is so
was
funny.
So random.
So random to me. Here's Donald Glover.
I really want to thank Atlanta and all the, like, black folks in Atlanta, like, for real, like, just for being alive and doing just amazing and being amazing people. I couldn't be here without Atlanta, like, and I really want to thank the Migos, not for being in the show, but for making Bad and Bougie. Like, that's the best song.
So he just basically shouts out his favorite song.
Like, listen,
from the stage.
This is my favorite song. Migos is my favorite band. Thank God they're from Georgia. Otherwise, it would make absolutely no sense. But so funny. But then he...
Did you love so much, by the way, seeing the Atlanta table when they were winning? You see Darius
each other.
And Paperboy, like, holding each other and just having the time of their lives. Because, see, this is the thing. It was so easy for people to look at Atlanta and go, no one's going to watch that show. Why should we even put that show on? I mean, that's the thinking of most of television mm-hmm. these days, is it's not going to appeal to everybody, so we don't want to put it on. That's what I love about that show so much, is it so is Donald Glover's vision.
Yeah.
You know what? Let an artist be an artist, and sometimes you get greatness out of it. And that's what happened in that Atlanta case. So I was so happy to see it get that recognition last night.
Absolutely. And finally, he also won for Best Actor, which I was so happy about because I personally thought he should win, but I didn't think the Hollywood Foreign Press would. But here's what he had to say about magic.
I grew up in a house where magic wasn't allowed, so everybody in here is, like, magical to me. Like, every time I saw a movie or Disney movies or heard your voices or saw you, I was like, oh, magic is from people. Like, we're the ones who kind of, in a weird way, tell a story or a lie to children, so they do stuff that we never thought was possible. My dad used to tell me every day, like, you can do anything you want. And I remember thinking, like, as a kid in first grade, like, you're lying to me. But now I do stuff, and he's like, I didn't think that was possible, so.
So good.
Yeah, it was. I mean, there is magic in show business. I know it's just a job like anything else, but, when it's done right, it really does affect people that way, in a magical way, and that was a beautiful way to put it. I was real, real happy for him as well.
And the best part? Very little Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, you know what? I kind of feel like they gave him the hook about after the first hour. They said, hey, Jimmy, not so much with you.
Not bad. Didn't hate it.
Ralph Alley won't stop talking about the Joshua Tree today. That's all that's going on behind the scenes.
Right?
Between seriously.
The
songs,
one the of the best deserts there is. And it's just, it's a great hiking location.
The
and you can have
album
a picnic.
By U2.
And
I think
you,
the,
can,
you
can
YouTube
do a trail
album. I think she's
blazing.
Talking about the
I
fact
do,
that
I do love Joshua Tree.
Rotting,
the area. But
and also BMXing.
Here's the deal. Here's the deal. The Joshua Tree came out 30 years ago this year. And U2 is commemorating that by performing the album in its entirety, in addition to way more songs, in a performance at the Rose Bowl happening on May 20th. Tickets go on sale next Tuesday at 10 a.m. This is all brand new information. But
We're going to give away the very first pair of tickets to see U2 at the Rose Bowl right now. If you're a U2 fan, we'll give you a chance to play a game right after the top of the hour. You can call us at 1-800-520-1067. Looking for U2 fans who want to see them at the Rose Bowl with the Lumineers in support. Ralph is here now. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday.
What's the date? What time of year are they doing this?
May 20th.
Perfect time. Perfect time to be outdoors at the Rose Bowl watching U2. Sure. That'll be fun. Pretty cool. You guys were just talking about the Golden Globes. I think you did a great job recapping, but I would have you let out the biggest part of the evening, in my opinion. What was the highlight was Jimmy Fallon's Sting impression. You left that part out. That was amazing.
When Why Sting is he was doing impressions?
I can't. I can't.
I'm going to now do the announcing. It's like, what are you doing?
What about the Cypress Hill?
Chastain and the Redmayne?
I can't.
Yeah.
I can't.
He's awful. He's freaking awful.
Everyone
who defends him stop. Awful Tonight Show, awful. Him, awful. Never funny, awful. Let it end. Let the defense of Jimmy Fallon end.
They got the wrong Jimmy to host. That's the problem.
All right.
How about Kristen Wiig and Steve Carell, though?
Let them host next year.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Oh,
let them host
next
year.
Jesus, that was a funny bit. In case you missed it last night, here's a little quick roundup of the big winners. La La Land won everything for best movie or comedy, musical or comedy movie. Emma Stone, Ryan Gosling, director Damien Chazelle, who also won for screenplay. The film won as well. Casey Affleck won for Manchester by the Sea for a dramatic acting performance, and Isabelle Huppert won for Best Actress Motion Picture Drama. Then in TV land, finally, Billy Bob Thornton got his just desserts for Goliath, right?
Come on.
The Crown won for Best Drama, Claire Foy for her work as Queen Elizabeth II. Atlanta and Donald Glover winning for that particular television program. Sad, he couldn't do any magic tricks in his house. That must have been a bummer.
Outlawed.
Couldn't do any magic, and then my dad said, you can be anything you want, except you can't be a magician, because there's no magic in my house. Thanks to everybody, the amigos who do magic tricks, and everybody, Atlanta.
Wow.
That's what I was saying at that speech.
Over this table.
I was like, oh, what is he talking about?
Who cares?
Bring Jimmy Fallon back out.
Oh, I will fight you.
Can Jimmy Fallon do a Donald Glover impression so I can find this entertaining?
Oh, you.
Magic, and you people are magic, but the magicians, my dad said nobody could be a magician except
he
the people
didn't
in
say
the magic
any
train.
Of that.
And the magic train comes along when the star goes
no
across
train.
The sky, and then everybody, cactus. Stop it. Pretentious.
In America, you should be ashamed.
Right, they should be. Tracy Ellis Ross won, and rightly so, for her brilliant work on Blackish as actress in the musical or comedy TV series. Tom Hiddleston, Olivia Colman, and Hugh Laurie all cleaned up for their work in The Night Manager.
Ralph, we haven't had a chance to talk about it, but the Tom Hiddleston speech.
Yes,
I think his intention was good.
You don't know about the Sudan.
But
back off, Sudan man.
Like, what did you call it, Allie? A humble brag a little bit.
Total humble brag. Like, I mean, there's war going on all around, but some people told me, man, I got to binge The Night Manager. Shut up.
Just try a British accent when you're doing that.
I don't want to. I don't want to.
I think his intention was saying there's real people out there doing real good work, and it made me realize this is meaningless, but it's nice if we can give those people a little entertainment while they're doing good stuff. But he did not come out that way.
Did not come out well.
No, I felt bad for him.
Bet his home had magic.
Because the magicians, man, you people do the magic, and I couldn't do it in my house. But my father said you can be anything you want, but you can't be magic, because there's no magic in our house. Poof.
What the hell?
Right? Then he made something disappear, and then a rabbit came out of somebody's hat.
None of that.
It all happened. Oh. Hey, you know who I miss since David Letterman retired? That Paul Schaefer. Remember Paul Schaefer?
Sure.
Paul Schaefer. Love Paul Schaefer. Thank you, Dave. I loved him on that show. Anyway, he's putting together the world's most dangerous band again. He's getting them back together, and they're releasing an album, which is pretty cool. And more impressive, I think, is the list of guest vocalists he has on that album.
Oh, I can't wait, because he knows everybody.
He knows everybody. Valerie Simpson, Shaggy, Bill Murray,
what?
Dion.
Hold on.
Yes, it's
Hold
the
on.
Most eclectic group of people ever. And Jenny Lewis. You guys know Jenny Lewis from Rilo Kiley?
So good.
Love her.
Oh, she's,
love her.
She's terrific. The first single from the album is Jenny Lewis, featured in the vocal of a song called Sorrow, which was a hit for the Mersey's back in the 60s, and then David Bowie did it on his Pinups album. It's the first track off this album that they're playing. Now, here's a little taste of Jenny Lewis and the World's Most Dangerous Band with Paul Schaefer and the cover of Sorrow.
You never do what you know you ought to. Something tells me you're the devil's daughter. Sorrow. Sorrow.
Yes, please.
Tell me Shaggy's doing a reboot of Wasn't Me.
He better.
Has
Bill,
to.
A duet with Bill Murray.
Yes. Yeah.
That would be magic, so we can't play it in my house, because there's no magic. It's a magic-free zone in my neighborhood.
I hate you so much.
Television. Everybody loves TV.
Sure.
Nobody more than the Paley Center for Media. They love television. That's why they do their big Paley Fest each and every year, where they get together the cast and creators of your favorite TV shows, they put them in one room, and you get to interview them yourselves with the Q&A section, usually at the end of the event. It's always entertaining. The lineup was just released for this year's Paley Fest, running from March 17th to the 26th. Here's what television shows they will be paying tribute to this year. The Walking Dead, a little show called The Walking Dead.
How about that?
An evening with Arrow, The Flash, Supergirl, and Legends of Tomorrow.
Wow.
All in one evening. This Is Us will be discussed with the cast and creators of that television show.
Wow.
Grey's Anatomy, NCIS LA, James Corden and The Late Late Show will also be a discussion. Orphan Black,
wow.
Bob's Burgers, Pretty Little Liars, Westworld, Scandal will have its 100th episode celebration at the Paley Fest, and American Horror Story, Roanoke. If you're a fan of any of those shows, you should check out the Paley Center for Media. And actually, you should sign up right now so that you can buy the tickets early before they go on sale to the rest of the peoples out there. So check it out at the Paley Center for Media. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Led Zeppelin guitarist Jimmy Page, 73 years old today. Actor J.K. Simmons turns 62. Dave Matthews is 50 years old today. A.J. McClain is 39. And actress Nina DeBrev is 28. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I've always sensed a real lack of commitment to the end of that song from everybody involved there.
Yeah, it's like they
just
gave up.
Just kind of fade out. I'm done with this. Hey, great show still to come here on the Kevin Bean Show for a Monday morning on K-Rock. Our friend Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network is going to be recapping the wild card weekend in the NFL. Coming up in minutes, Matt Bellany from The Hollywood Reporter is going to talk all about the Golden Globes and the after parties that he gets invited to. So that's going to be fun coming up as well. First, though, I kind of like it when a musical artist that you love performs an entire one of their albums in order in concert. I think that's kind of a neat thing that you know, a lot of times you get to see songs they don't ordinarily do in the set. And if you love that album and you love that band, it's fun.
Yes.
Chip, you were saying you've seen The Offspring do this with Smash. Social D has done it. Of course, Bruce Springsteen had that huge tour last year where he performed The River in its entirety. Well, you too, for the first time in their long 40-year career, is going to be doing that to celebrate the release of The Joshua Tree plus 30 years. That came out in 1987. And they're going out on the road this summer throughout North America and Europe performing the album in its entirety. That's going to be super fun, right?
I've seen them a few times, and I don't think I've ever heard two of my favorite songs, and they're from Joshua Tree, Running to Stand Still and One Tree Hill.
Perfect.
I don't think I've ever heard those live, and oh my God, I will fight you for these tickets.
So this tour is custom made for you.
It's custom made for me.
They've got Noel Gallagher opening on some dates, Mumford and Sons on others. We get the Lumineers at the Rose Bowl on May 20th. Tickets go on sale next Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock, but we've got them for you all week long here on the Kevin and Bean Show and throughout the day at K-Rock, and we're going to give away a pair right now at 1-800-520-1067 with a game that we like to call Total Recall.
Total Recall, that's the game that we play. If you want tickets to see you two at the Rose Bowl. Oh, yeah! Total Recall, you two at the Rose Bowl. That's what you will win. All you have to do is recall. Oh,
game that sounds simple until you're the dude or lady on the phone trying to come up with five items in 10 seconds. It's as simple as that. I give you a category. You just name five items in that category in 10 seconds. You go into the drawing, in this case, to win tickets for you two at the Rose Bowl. Let's start with Oscar. He's up first. He's in West Hills on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Oscar.
Hey, how you doing?
Great, man. Thanks for calling. Thanks for holding on. You ready to try to win some U2 tickets?
I hope so.
All right. 30 years ago this March, U2 released The Joshua Tree. Many fans consider it to be their best album ever. And, of course, as we mentioned, they're celebrating that with a performance at the Rose Bowl. The Joshua Tree is a popular national park located in California that people come to visit from all over the world. Here's what I'm asking you, Oscar. In 10 seconds, name five other popular attractions or sites that people come to California to see in person. Five other attractions or sites. You've got 10 seconds. Good luck.
Yosemite Park.
Well, I mean, you could have gone with SeaWorld or Disneyland or the Hollywood Walk of Fame, San Diego Zoo. It's too late now, though. You kind of we've already passed the 10 seconds. I'm sorry, Oscar. Thank you for playing. See what I mean? The game seems easy until you're the dude asked the question.
He just wanted to chat about it, though. That was
really
adorable.
Let's go to line two, Tustin. This is going to be Rudy on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Rudy.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
How you feeling about Total Recall?
Dude, every time I listen on the radio, I'm thinking, it's so easy. Come on.
Right.
But now that I'm on this end, I'm extremely nervous.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
All right. Good luck to you. Of course, U2's lead singer is one of the greatest rock vocalists of all time. His name is Bono. And you remember a couple years ago, he had that brush with death where he was injured in a very serious bicycle accident. Here's what I'm asking you to do for me, Rudy. I need you to name five other means of transportation with wheels. Five other means of transportation with wheels on them in 10 seconds. Five other ways to get around on wheels. Good luck.
A bicycle, a motorcycle, a car. Airplane has wheels on it, and tricycle.
Yeah, you said bicycle, though. We already gave you that one. You need to come up with one more. I'm sorry. We needed five others. Nice try.
Oh,
thank you for calling.
Really?
Because we already gave him bike. We could have gone with a Segway or a truck or a train. Nice try, though. Thanks for playing. Let's try Andrew, Pomona, line three. Andrew.
Yes, I'm here.
What's up, man?
What's up?
Total Recall is a tough game. You ready to play?
I'm ready.
U2's breakthrough album in America came in 1983. It featured their signature song, Sunday Bloody Sunday, also Two Hearts Beat as One. That album was called War. You remember War, you guys, the album from U2?
Yeah.
In 10 seconds, name any five wars that the United States has been involved in. Five U.S. wars in 10 seconds. Good luck, sir.
Okay, Vietnam War, World War II, World War One, Civil War, Iraq War.
Yes!
He got it.
He got
yes!
it. Fantastic. I was a little bit nervous there at the end.
Oof.
All right, you hang on. You are in the drawing, my friend. Appreciate that. Let's go to L.A. Let's talk to Freddie, line four. Hey, Freddie.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
How you been doing playing along with the other callers on hold?
Well, the wheels one was pretty easy. Obviously, the wars, so let's see what happens.
All right, a little smack talking so far from Freddie, huh?
Yeah.
No, not smack talking, but those ones were easy.
All right. They always seem easy when they're not yours. On U2's 1993 Zoo TV tour, Bono would start out each concert wearing big black wraparound sunglasses while playing a character that he called the Fly. That reminds me, can you name five other insects that have wings? Other than a fly, five other insects that have wings. You have 10 seconds. Go.
We got a bee. We got grasshopper, butterfly, beetle, firefly.
Yes.
Mean.
Well done,
yes.
sir. Well done. All right. I think we got time for one more, shall we say. We got Andrew and Freddie in the drawing. Let's see what Cindy can do. She's in La Mirada. She's on line five. Hey, Cindy.
Hi. Good morning.
You love the U2?
Oh, my God. I've been listening to them since, like, 81.
Yeah. Yeah, they're real good.
And
right?
Allie, if I win, I'll take you.
Oh, Cindy. See, now you're going to make me want to pick you. And you had to deal with Bean going,
You like the U2?
It wasn't being creepy at all.
So Cindy,
Nothing creepy about that.
Oh, it got weird.
Just U2 fan to U2 fan, just making conversation.
I've listened to him for a long time.
All right, Cindy, here's your question. U2 have one of the most famous and beloved guitarists in the world, who, of course, is known as The Edge. That is not his given name. His parents, Mr. and Mrs. Evans, named him David. David is a pretty common name. There have been many famous ones over the years. So here's the question I have for you, Cindy. Can you name me five other famous Davids or Daves besides The Edge in 10 seconds? Good luck.
Oh, you're going to kill me. I can't even think right now. I'm completely blank. David, well, David Evans, that's not one. David, oh, son of a...
Guess I'm not going.
Sorry, Allie. Would it hurt you if I said David Lynch, Dave Chappelle, Dave Grohl, Dave Navarro, Dave Gahan, David Letterman, David Beckham?
Sorry, Allie.
It's all right, Cindy.
David Bowie.
I did fantastic in all the other ones.
Dave Duchovny, David Spade.
All right, she gets it. There's a lot of Davids.
David Hyde Pierce.
All right.
Okay. David Hasselhoff.
I mean.
I could have mentioned Dave Matthews.
You could have, but David, now it's just, David now you're Roth just punching her in the gut.
David Caruso.
Okay, Bean.
Dave Foley.
I think we get it.
I'm Dave Coulier. I mean, there's. I guess what I'm saying is, there's,
let her be.
There's a lot of them, but thank you for playing anyway. Thank you for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Is it going to be Andrew or is it going to be Freddie? Who's winning the first pair of tickets for you two at the Rose Bowl with the Lumineers in support on May 20th, Miss Allie McKay?
The winner is Andrew.
Yay! Get Andrew on the line.
Yes.
Andrew.
Yes.
You too. I don't know who he's yelling at, but we appreciate
it. Swashbuckling.
Thank you for listening. Congratulations. And thanks for playing Total Recall. Total Recall. You're listening to world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. We'll talk football with our friend Andrew Siciliano coming up in minutes here on K-Rock. Allie, what's your feeling on people who use the platform at awards shows to talk politics rather than movies and TV shows?
To be honest, before this election, I thought, ugh, we get it. Enough. Mm-hmm. Enough with what you're saying. But this election, when people get mad at celebrities using their platform, I have to remind people, you voted for a reality star. So everything's kind of off the table right now. Mm-hmm. Everything's mm-hmm. changed. Everything is different.
But when you tune in to watch a show like the Golden Globes last mm-hmm. night, because you're a fan of entertainment, of movies and of television... Right. Is your head in a political space? Is that what you want to be thinking about?
No, absolutely not. And I don't think it was for a lot of people. And I don't think it even really was all that much for Meryl Streep. I think she talked about bullying. She talked about things being normalized right now that should never be. Mm-hmm. That's not political to me.
Well, she was on the TV last night for almost 6 minutes, and she spent a lot of that, without saying Donald Trump's name, she spent a lot of that talking about things that recalled Donald Trump. But one thing specifically that she mentioned that I think ended up getting under the president-elect's skin was this.
There was one performance this year that stunned me. It sank its hooks in my heart. Not because it was good. There was nothing good about it. But it was effective, and it did its job. It was that moment when the person asking to sit in the most respected seat in our country imitated a disabled reporter, someone he outranked in privilege, power, and the capacity to fight back. This instinct to humiliate when it's modeled by someone in the public platform, by someone powerful, it filters down into everybody's life. Because it kind of gives permission for other people to do the same thing. When the powerful use their position to bully others, we all lose.
I don't know what I said. I don't remember.
Well, it was only a matter of time before Mr. Trump had a response, and he got up first thing this morning and started tweeting about Meryl Streep, so we want to find out more about that. We've got him on the line. It's time for another Trump date. Hit it, Steve.
He's a guy.
Sit down.
11 days away from the inauguration, Mr. Trump, thank you so much for squeezing in some time for the Kevin and Bean Show, sir. How are you?
The greatest inauguration anyone has ever seen.
That's what I understand. Yeah.
Huge number of TV and movie stars will be in attendance. So who needs overrated Meryl Streep, by the way? Okay.
Okay. I got to...
Unbelievably overrated.
when people have been asking why you've been having so much trouble getting big stars for your inauguration and for the balls and everything, you say, hey, it's not Woodstock. That's not what it's about. It's about the people, right?
Yes, but I really, really, really want famous people there.
Okay.
Right. I really do. I can't tell you how much it's important to me to be loved by famous people.
Okay.
And so we're going to have a ton of them there.
Uh-huh.
I'm happy to announce right as of today.
Oh.
Not only big, but rich will also be there.
Big and rich.
And Cowboy Troy, also in attendance.
Wow.
So,
okay.
Suck it, Meryl Streep. Okay.
Right.
Overrated Meryl Streep, unbelievably overrated.
All right. I have to ask you about that, sir, because she is considered by virtually everyone to be one of the greatest actresses that ever lived. She's been nominated for 19 Academy Awards and 30 Golden Globes.
Wrong.
How is she not a great... Look, you can disagree with what she says. You can think she mischaracterized your remark about the reporter. You can't argue that she's a talented actress.
Have you met me?
No, I've not met you personally.
I can argue anything about any fact and say it's not what it is, okay? It's a gift. It's unbelievable. I can say I didn't make fun of that reporter who's all bent up. I say that all the time, but I did it.
Right.
But I'm saying I didn't do it. So,
right, but you did do it, and it's on tape, and we saw you do it.
Wrong.
No, we actually saw you. There's video. There's video of you doing it, literally.
Didn't do it.
And
she's overrated. I hate her. How is she?
Have you seen any of Meryl Streep's movies?
Florence Foster Jerkins. That's what I saw. I saw the Bitches of Madison County.
Okay, that was Bridges and Florence Foster Jenkins. You got the titles wrong.
Mamma Mia Diarrhea, right?
Just Mamma Mia.
Just Mamma Mia is a delightful movie, and she sings in it, too.
She is the devil who wears Prada, right? Boom.
The devil wears Prada.
That was a fantastic movie, and she was great in that,
Maybe
Mr. Trump.
Maybe she go back in Africa instead of out of Africa.
Look, again.
I got a million of them.
There's never been one movie you've seen that you thought she was good in?
I guess Sophie made the wrong choice in the election. Boom.
Okay.
Flunky. Hillary Flunky. Boom.
Is that what it was? Is you're just upset because she came out in support of
Hillary
your opponent in the election?
Flunky, okay? Mm-hmm. She is Flunky called Medina.
Oh, Trump.
Really?
Down. Raiders are in the playoffs. Raiders! 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 Let's go, Raiders!
I feel really bad for Oakland Raiders fans.
You should. It upset me.
Their season should not be over after the year they had. A lot of great football action, even though none of the games were close this weekend. For the Wild Card Weekend, our friend Andrew Siciliano, host of Up to the Minute on the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone channel during the season, joins us as he does on Monday mornings here on K-Rock. Hey, Andrew, how are you, sir?
Good morning, guys. Two things. Number one, it was sad for Raider fans. Number two, Ellie, there's no way that you actually felt for Raider fans.
I did, absolutely. I felt for the Raiders. I love their coach. I love Del Rio. I love that kicker that's always joking.
Sebastian Janikowski.
Him? No. Yes. No.
Marquette King.
Yes.
The punter.
Yes. Love him.
Yes.
There's a lot to love about the Raiders.
Okay.
Especially this season.
Understand why that I found it hard to believe that a Patriots fan like you would have such a bleeding heart for the Raiders.
Listen, I'm able to look past that whole Tuck rule situation and the anger on my timeline every year. Every time the Patriots do anything, a Raiders fan is on my timeline. Tuck rule, losers, cheaters.
Well, look, the point is you win 12 games, which is real hard to do in the NFL these days. You shouldn't be out after what happened to them. I mean, it's just really, really sad. But that whole game was such a toss up going in. We didn't know what to expect from either side, really, did we, Andrew?
And it was a weird weekend. Houston was the home team, and they had the number one total defense, meaning the fewest yards allowed per game during the season. So you knew that they would have that edge, but Houston's offense had been horrible the last couple of weeks. They had changed quarterbacks multiple times. No one would have been shocked, I think, if the Raiders had won that game. But some people thought the coach might be fired in Houston or might try to grease the skids for an exit if they did lose. I'm still confused, and I really didn't get a good explanation as to why the Raiders didn't try Matt McGloin. Now, it was not all the kid Connor Cook's fault. He's a rookie. He's a fourth-round pick. He hadn't
And McGloin was there, right? And he was suited up, and it looked like he was ready.
Dressed.
He was available.
Well, that's the whole thing. They said he couldn't play, but then they dressed him. Well, if he's in uniform, that means he's healthy enough to get in there. Maybe he was in uniform only in case of extreme emergency, but that's not what they said. They after the game, said, well, we didn't really think he would have been much better, in essence, and I'm paraphrasing here. And listen, it's not all Connor Cook's fault. Normally reliable guys like Crabtree and Amari Cooper dropped some big passes.
Yeah.
They had two guys, two key pieces, Donald Penn, and then eventually during the game, Rodney Hudson out on the offensive line. So I mean, that's a big deal. I just figured at one point they would go to Matt McGloin and break the glass in case of emergency. But
right, when the season is on the line, exactly. You're not saving them for anything. How do you rate Brock Osweiler, the $72 million man who, you know, let's remember, wasn't even their quarterback a few weeks ago?
I would give him a C. They won. Look, here's the thing for the Texans. They won the game they were supposed to win against a third-string quarterback, and now they have to go face Allie's New England Patriots, and they have played the Patriots in each of the last 2 years, and the combined score of those games is 54-6. And that was when you could argue they had better quarterback play than what they have now.
Right.
Are we going to see any cutaways of J.J. Watt?
You will see many cutaways.
Good Lord!
Of J.J. Watt.
What? It was after every play, they were getting a cutaway of J.J. Watt.
Doesn't it look like he's lost some weight?
He has.
Don't you think so?
Yeah.
That's a worry off. I can't, too.
Mm-hmm. You approve, Allie?
I mean, he's such a D-bag. But,
why?
But I dig him.
Wait, hold on. What's wrong with J.J.
Come on. J.J., I'm great. No.
Okay. Wait, are you one of these people? Are you in one of these everything is awful moods?
Yes.
Have you met me?
Yes, she very much is. All right, let's keep it in the NFC for a minute, and there wasn't much drama in the Seahawks-Lions game, but it was, I felt, and I'm a little bit of a homer for the Seattle Seahawks, as you know, but I felt there was a little bit of a spark, a little bit of a flash, a little better team than we've seen in recent weeks up there in Seattle.
Absolutely, and they're not losing at home. I mean, the last time they lost at home in a playoff game, it was to the Rams. Marshall Faulk was still playing. That's a long
Jeez.
Goal.
Whoa.
Yeah, so they were not going to lose that game. They are the better team, but I don't know. Listen, if you go back and watch the Falcons-Seahawks the first time they played, I know you remember the game.
Yes.
Atlanta very well could have, should have won that game. I do think it should have been pass interference and Richard Sherman. I do think Atlanta would have had the ball down the field with a chance to win the game.
I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. Atlanta got horked that game, yeah.
And the other thing, too, is I'm not making this about the officiating here because the Lions were not good enough to win. The Seahawks got the benefit of some suspect calls on Saturday night.
The Paul Richardson face mask, for sure.
I mean, he was the first ever receiver to catch a touchdown one-handed while Linda Blairing the DB. And
I hadn't heard Linda Blair used as a verb before.
The verb. It was a ridiculous catch. And there was a pass interference call where they said the ball was uncatchable and the guy got tackled, and that's why it was uncatchable. Anyway, it's not about the officiating here. It's not. Atlanta is rested and ready, and in their own building, that offense is spectacular.
Yeah,
they are
30
points a game, spectacular. If the Seahawks can run the ball like they did against the Lions, okay? If, then I think the Seahawks can win that game.
I am very nervous about that.
Yeah,
very nervous about the game. All right, let's move on to the Giants controversy. Now, a lot of people are trying to blame Justin Bieber for this, for the Giants taking a day to head down to Miami for some fun, but that's not what killed him against the Packers yesterday. What's your takeaway on that game?
Wow. Have you ever seen a game go from a one-point nail-biter to over in like 40 minutes of real time?
Yeah,
so that's what happened yesterday. It was a one-point nail-biter. The Giants did a long Eli touchdown. They get it 14-13. And then you blink, and it's over.
Yeah.
See, it's all going to be blamed on Odell Beckham Jr., which is not fair.
However, he definitely had a tough day.
He had a tough day. And here's what I didn't hear from him yesterday. He said, what happened on the boat had nothing to do with our performance. And he said that repeatedly. Fine, that's a good answer. What I didn't hear was, what happened on the boat had nothing to do with my performance because he played poorly. He had a couple of catches which were difficult, but that he normally makes.
Right.
And
because he's an elite player. That's why he's an elite player, because he makes those catches usually.
Exactly. And
they didn't lose because he was on a boat with Justin Bieber, although that is very easy and convenient.
It's because it was Trey Songz, right?
It was because it was Trey Songz.
See?
Exactly.
Yep.
And it was because Johnny Manziel was in the club, too, tweeting about his ex and then erasing the tweets. No, it all.
But, Andrew, if you're the coach of the Giants or the coach of any NFL team, don't you let your players have some time off? Or are you it's the playoffs, every single day you should be focused on nothing but the next game?
You know, they did have the day off. The question is, do you think it's a good use of your time to fly on a private plane and to Miami, party with the Biebs, and then come back? Now, he didn't show up late for a meeting. He never was late for anything. He literally had a great week of practice. Listen, the kid's in a bubble. He knows that everything he does is going to be scrutinized way too much. You got to know that. And you also got to know that he is going to get blamed if he plays poorly. Look, if he came out and had 7 catches for a 150 and a touchdown and they lost, nobody would be saying a word.
That's a great point.
He played poorly, and that can't
That's a great
really
point.
Be denied.
And he was wearing Timberlands on a boat. I mean, why are we not talking about the
That's
real
a great
issues
point,
here?
Allie.
That is awful.
I want to ask you one other thing about the Packers game, and that is you at the NFL Network, you guys have stats on everything. The greatest Hail Mary quarterback of all time has got to be Aaron Rodgers, right?
I don't know that we have that stat, but I will get them on it. You see with your own two eyes, he's done it 3 times in the last year.
It's unbelievable. That Randall Cobb catch, I mean, there were 40 guys in the end zone there, and the one guy who could have caught the ball is the guy that the ball landed on.
And Randall Cobb was on after the game on NFL Network with Deion Sanders, and he didn't even hide it. He said, yeah, I pushed off. I just pushed a little bit to make some room. He's the smallest guy back there too.
Yeah,
I mean, it was just normally you put the 6'3" guys down there and have them jump. He just stood in the back and waited, made some room with a convenient shove, and just waited, and it landed right in his arms. And
it was unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right.
Unbelievable.
Final game of the weekend. Sorry for Chip and all Dolphins fans. Nobody really expected him to go into Pittsburgh and win, and they didn't. But what about the hit to Matt Moore? That was one of the most brutal things I've seen all season long, Andrew.
We say the common phrase is it's a contact sport. It's not. It's a collision sport. And that was one of the ones where you feel in your bones when you're watching on TV.
Yeah.
I don't know how he got up 5 minutes later and
started arguing to get put back in the game.
Well,
too.
I mean, everyone argues to get back to get back in the game. He allegedly passed every test he needed to pass to get back in. The thing about that hit is it drew a flag. It was one of those ones where it wasn't dirty and it wasn't malicious, but it was illegal. In other words, he made helmet-to-helmet contact, but it's not as if Bud Dupree is this dirty, filthy player who just made this egregious hit on the quarterback. It just shows you how violent the sport can be when it's being played by people that big at that speed. And it's amazing he got up. And the story now becomes Ben Roethlisberger's ankle. He showed up at the press conference last night with a walking boot on his ankle.
Oh,
so that's the story to follow all week. Will Ben's ankle be okay? And knowing Ben Roethlisberger, not that I'm doubting his injury, they will milk this.
Faker!
But Dolphins fans have to feel, just like Raiders fans, you know, tough losing your quarterback at the end of the season, but they're in a pretty good position to play well again next year. I mean, this could be
absolutely
the start of something big for them, right?
And look, they could have still won that game. They couldn't stop the Steelers. It wasn't the quarter. I mean, the quarterback obviously had those couple of fumbles there where it looked as if they were going to get back in the game. And maybe Ryan Tannehill doesn't fumble the ball. Maybe the offense is more dynamic. But you knew in the first 5 minutes of that game, they can't stop Le'Veon Bell or Antonio Brown. They're not going to win this game, period.
Absolutely. All right. Next weekend is the divisional playoffs. I think Monday is a holiday, Andrew, so we'll catch up with you next Tuesday, if that's all right.
That is okay.
And we'll look for Anna Up to the Minute on the NFL Network this afternoon at 1 o'clock. And don't forget, during the season, Andrew is the host of DirecTV's Red Zone Channel. Always a pleasure, sir. Thanks for coming on today.
Drive safely, everybody.
Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, it's 106.7 KROQ. Our friend Matt Bellany from The Hollywood Reporter, he's a little bit of a big wig in town, you know, Ralph.
Mm-hmm.
Matt
the size
is.
Of his wig. That's why.
He's the executive editor of The Hollywood Reporter.
Mm-hmm. And
so you know
that
this
wig.
Guy,
plus that the wig he wears.
I don't think he's wearing a wig at all.
Huge wig.
You know, this guy goes to all the best parties, and he was up until very late last night after the Golden Globes. He'll be joining us in studio coming up right after the top of the hour. First, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Split!
Right?
Excuse me?
Split? James McAvoy, split!
Oh, I love that James McAvoy.
Guy's got 23 different personalities. Guess what, bitches? You're about to meet number 24. You're not going to like it.
You're all going to die tonight.
Exactly. Wait till 24 shows up. Split! It's my new campaign. I hope they go for it. It's
aggressive.
If you'd like to see Split, it's in theaters everywhere on January the 20th. We're having a special K-Rock advance screening on the 17th of January.
Yay!
At the Krikorian Buena Park Metroplex. That sounds like a place where the Super Bowl should be played.
It really does.
The Krikorian Buena Park Metroplex. They have a dome over that? You can see the movies in the fresh air as well. Anyway, give us a call now. 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through with that phone number receive a pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of Split.
This guy kidnaps a bunch of girls,
yeah,
chains them up in the basement. All of a sudden, everybody thinks he's a bad guy.
This is Bean's feel-good movie of the year. That's what Bean said.
Was it Bean?
In his review on the poster, it says,
just say it.
I'd laugh, I thought I'd cry.
Bean a lot of judgment against the Split guy. Why don't we just hold off until we see the movie, all right, before we decide he's automatically a bad guy.
You spectacular creep. Last night, of course, the Golden Globes were given out. A lot of very deserving people took away some gold balls on top of a thing. Ryan Gosling, Emma Stone, Damien Chazelle, all big winners for their film La La Land, which was the most honored film in the history of the Golden Globes.
Oh, that's right.
With 7 wins. Viola Davis for Fences. Aaron Taylor Johnson for Nocturnal Animals also picked up acting awards. Zootopia was the best animated feature film. And by far the highlight of the evening's proceedings for me was the presentation of best animated feature film featuring Kristen Wiig and Steve Carell, who came out on stage. And from minute one, they started waving to particular people in the audience for way too long. And it is already funny. Already funny. And they started talking about how much they loved animated films. And they were both in, of course, the Despicable Me films. And then Kristen, you know, very innocently asks Steve his first memories of animated films.
Do you remember the first time you saw an animated movie?
I do, actually, very well. It's kind of a big deal. I was 6 years old, and my dad took me to see Fantasia. It was astounding. The music, the spectacle of the whole thing, it was kind of a life-changing experience.
Yeah, it's a classic.
And as we were leaving the theater, there, standing in the lobby, was my mom. And that was the moment she told my dad that she wanted a divorce. I never saw my father again after that day.
Yeah, and that she went on with her own horror story about putting her dogs down, and it was just funny.
Here's what I was
just
thinking as I was watching last night, is how funny they are, and God, I hope they host next year. But I was also thinking, why don't they try harder on the Golden Globes to do more funny things and more interesting matchups rather than just people who are on TV and or have movies to promote?
Do you have any idea how hard it is to do that?
Yeah. I think by just seeing Amy Schumer and Goldie Hawn before do it very painfully.
Fall on their faces.
Yes.
It's so difficult, Bean, for you to think that people can just walk out there and crush like that.
I get that it's hard.
No, you don't, because you just ask, why don't they do it more? Because they can't do it more.
I think they could do it more than they do, and I also think they could come up with more. Look, you have all of the people in show business to draw from to put up on that stage, okay? Rather than just have some actress from a current TV show come out and do a thing, why not, like the Sylvester Stallone Carl Weathers thing that they put together?
It was awful.
It was nice to see those two guys together from a movie that we love them together.
I can't believe you. I let you win the fight. I wrote the film.
But that at least was an attempt to do something creative and interesting with what's essentially just reading a list.
You go right to hell.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
I can see we're on the same page.
You burn.
So you agree with me wholeheartedly.
You burst into flames.
Sounds like we are two peas in a pod.
In paper cuts and dipped in lemon and salt.
We're practically brothers.
Wrong. Why don't they make award shows better?
Hey, that's a great question, by the way. Whoever asked that deserves it.
He's a genius.
Trump tweeter action this morning. I know you're going to find it to believe, but Trump is tweeting about last night's Golden Globes Awards. Meryl Streep got up there and won a Lifetime Achievement Award, and she took the opportunity to address the state of the arts and compassion and empathy in America and took some swipes at Donald Trump. And he tweeted back that she was overrated, he says, in her opinion. And the only reason that she was upset was because, and I quote, she was a Hillary flunky who lost big. Mm-hmm. He's the best. Meryl Streep, one of the most overrated actresses in Hollywood. See, the minute you go there, you have just neutered your entire
null
tweet.
And void.
No one can believe anything that follows that once you say Meryl Streep, one of the most overrated actresses in Hollywood. Here's a tip, Donald. You want to make an impressive slam tweet, an insult? You say Meryl Streep is a brilliantly talented woman, but she's mistaken on a few issues. See, if you give a little, you get a little.
If you deem to address it at all, though.
Of course, yeah, he shouldn't even be talking about this. But the one upside is, of Donald Trump tweets, is now we have Joker Trump, which I think is my favorite thing in the world. Mark Hamill, legendary actor Mark Hamill, of course, best known as Luke Skywalker from Star Wars, also is the legendary voice of the Joker from the animated Batman TV series and also Arkham Asylum and the games, the video games and other projects. He does the best Joker in the world. And comedy writer Matt Oswalt, brother of Patton, suggested that Trump's New Year's Eve tweet sounded just like something the Joker might say before releasing a swarm of killer bees into Gotham City. So Hamill took it upon himself to record Trump's New Year's tweet in the Joker voice, and he's put it online, and it's just so magical. Here it is.
Happy New Year to all, including to my many enemies and those who have fought me and lost so badly. They just don't know what to do. Love.
So there you go. It's the Joker reading Trump's tweets.
So the president-elect is a supervillain.
Yes.
I love it.
He calls him the Trumpster. That's the supervillain name he has given him. So,
by the way, how great is Mark Hamill as a voiceover artist?
He's brilliant. He's the best. And his Joker is perhaps the best Joker performance, you know, even including the live actions that's known. So very fun to hear that. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Nina DeBrev is 28 years old today. Soon to be seen in the new Triple X.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
That's the Vin Diesel movie?
Yeah,
coming back?
It is.
Was that
one
of those?
Got it.
Get your mind out of the gutter, Al.
I wasn't sure.
Triple X, Vin Diesel's back. Bet the return of Hunter Calder.
I bet that's not his name.
These are just words.
Name not all. Of Sketch Smacker.
How many times is Kevin going to see that?
Oh, all times.
All times.
He's waiting in line now. That's why he's not at work. He's waiting in line for Triple X to come out a month from now. AJ McClain is 39. Now, what's his name in Triple X? Xander Clocker. It's something very masculine and punchy. AJ McClain is 39 years old today. Dave Matthews turns 50.
Xander Cage.
Told you it was macho. It's a man's name. Return of Xander Cage.
I don't know what's happening.
Mm-hmm. J.K. Simmons is 62.
He's the voice of the yellow M&M in the commercials.
Fun fact.
That is a fun fact. You put that in the fun fact file there, Chip? Thanks so much. Led Zeppelin guitarist Jimmy Page turns 73 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All morning long here on the Kevin Amin Show, we've been breaking down last night's 74th Annual Golden Globe Awards. They were held at the Beverly Hilton, airing on NBC. But we weren't there like our friend Matt Bellany, the executive editor for The Hollywood Reporter, who joins us in studio here on the Kevin Amin Show. Hey, Matt.
Good morning. Excuse my voice. It was late. It was a late night.
I know every year when we have this meeting and you come in, I'm always amazed that you're awake and alive and alert, because I'm sure it was a very late night for you with all the parties.
It was, but it was fun. You know, the Globes are you know, the least the least painful of these things because, first of all, the parties after the show are all in the same building. They have all the parties at the Beverly Hilton.
That's nice.
And then people kind of fan out and go to different things, agency parties or private dinners and things like that. But, you know, you see this sign there, the Beverly Hilton, that points you in the direction of about seven different parties that are all in different places in the hotel. And it's just, it's one-stop shopping.
Well, I want to get to the parties for sure. I'm dying to hear about what you saw and heard. But let's talk about the show for a minute. Look, award shows are what they are. They're 3 hours plus. And for me, usually there's about 30 minutes of entertainment in that 3 hours. That's kind of about what I felt like I got from last night. What did you think of the program?
I think I agree. I think the opening with Fallon and La La Land was pretty creative. But then if I were him, I would blame the entire monologue on a broken teleprompter because – it
that
was not
even when the script got up for him. It didn't help, right?
No, and just the little bits that he had during the show weren't that funny, and I don't know. It just seemed like he was kind of winging it.
Yeah,
and he got the job because the show was on NBC, and they want to promote the Tonight Show, right?
Of course, they've been asking him for years to do it. So
we're losing Matt.
No. I'm back. But you know, there were some highlights. I thought the speeches were really good. Meryl Streep, you know, like her or don't like her, like Trump or don't like Trump. That was a textbook example of a good celebrity political speech.
And we were talking about that. So you're of the opinion that that's an appropriate venue to talk politics, even though you're there to talk Hollywood.
Sure, why not? You know what? She believes it. They give her a platform. And, you know, people listen to these things. It's a way to reach people. So if you believe it, why not stand up for what you believe?
You saw the tweet from Meghan McCain that was making the rounds. She said, keep giving speeches like that and you'll ensure that Donald Trump gets reelected.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's true. But you know what? It's better than being silent if you're someone who truly believes that. I mean, some of them rang a little bit more hollow. I'm not sure the Tom Hiddleston Sudan plea was as effective.
Let's talk about that. For
it
folks who didn't
so
watch the show,
weird.
Describe what it was he did on stage.
You know what? I was hearing sort of every third word at the viewing party, but you know, it was a very impassioned plea to help people in the Sudan and dedicating the award to it and all these other things. And, you know, that's a very admirable cause. But this is a guy probably best known to most people for wearing an I Heart Taylor Swift t-shirt.
Yeah.
And you know, it's not like you're getting a Lifetime Achievement Award like Meryl Streep. And it just –
And lost in it all was when he said, and then for them to tell me that they binge-watched The Night Manager. Wow. Like, we get it.
I know.
You're in a war-torn country, and they want to watch you.
I know. It was not good.
It was
not good at all.
No. I think his heart was in the right place. I don't think he was trying to make an equivalency with what he does versus what these people do in war-torn South Sudan, but it came off that way. That
right.
He was trying to put himself on that level.
That is the dilemma when you choose to go political at an event like this, is that it comes across as spoiled Hollywood brat, you know, making himself feel better by referencing people who are, in a bad situation.
Were you expecting going into the awards last night, and this is the voice of our friend Matt Bellany, executive editor of The Hollywood Reporter, that the La La Land would be the most awarded Golden Globe movie ever?
I don't think it would. I didn't think I thought it would sweep every award it was nominated for, but I thought it would do well. I mean, it's in that musical comedy category, so it's not up against Moonlight or Manchester by the Sea or some of the other big award season movies.
Yeah.
So it had the chance. It's a very well-regarded musical, so it's in that category. But, you know, the fact that Ryan Gosling won, I think, is, you know, beating out, you know, Ryan Reynolds and some of these other more pure comedic performances. And, you know, I think even the biggest fans of La La Land would not say that Ryan Gosling's singing is the highlight of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it just ran the table. The Hollywood Foreign Press is 90 foreign journalists, and if they get on board with the movie, you see things like this.
Are people going to see La La Land? Is that a big box office hit as well?
Yeah, it's doing well. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not Rogue One,
right.
But it's over $50 million now for a musical, an original musical like this. That's doing very well.
The reason I ask is because so many of the shows that won last night, and movies too, like Moonlight is a perfect example, and the L movie and some of these other things, are not, even Manchester by the Sea, are not movies that most Americans are going to see.
No, and that's the, you know, the criticism of these award shows these days is exactly that, is that they don't honor what people are actually going to the movies and even watching on TV. I mean, some of these shows that won are so obscure. Who is watching Billy Bob Thornton on Goliath on Amazon?
No idea.
Right.
I mean, that is a head scratcher. People were, I mean, I don't even know anyone who watches that.
I've never heard of it.
I haven't seen it.
Never heard of
and,
it.
And even even the some of the multiple award winners like The Crown and even The Night Manager are certainly not among the most watched things of the year.
No. And it's, you know, This Is Us was nominated, and that's probably the biggest hit on broadcast TV.
Right.
I think The Crown, you know, on being on Netflix on a big, you know, platform like that where people around the world are watching it, that show has an audience. But something, even something like Atlanta that is so critically acclaimed and people love, you know, that audience is not huge. It's a niche show on FX. So, you know, now it's one of those shows that's going to clean up at award shows from now to eternity.
Everyone should watch that show twice, maybe three times.
I know it's a question that's been asked many times before, but why do you think these so-called quality shows don't get bigger audiences, Matt?
I think it's because there are so many choices. If you look, there was a report that was released at the end of the year that showed there were 455 scripted TV shows available last year. I mean, think about that.
No way.
And that is, I mean, that's up by hundreds of shows from only about 5 or 6 years ago. So if there are so many shows, and a lot of them are great, you can't expect a huge audience to gravitate towards any one of them. I mean, sure, there's going to be Game of Thrones, there's going to be Walking Dead, those kinds of shows that become big cultural phenomenons. But, like, even the most critically acclaimed shows like Veep or, you know, like The Americans on FX, like those kinds of shows that critics love and if you actually watch them are amazing, the general public doesn't watch.
Yeah, yeah. Because we all have stupid jobs, that's why.
And lives, and things you care about other than, you know...
Stupid families, right? How about a little less of that, a little more time for watching TV? That's
absolutely,
what I'd say.
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right, Matt Bellany is here, by the way, on Twitter at THRMattBellany. THR.com is the website. That's the show. Let's talk parties when we come back right after this on K-Rock.
I feel like I need to whisper coming out of this one. Don't want to make it too jarring.
Hey, keep listening to K-Rock for a chance to win your tickets to go see U2, just announced at the Rose Bowl with the Lumineers opening up. That show is going to be on May 20th. It's going to be the 30th anniversary this year, believe it or not, of the Joshua Tree, their album that won the Album of the Year at the Grammys that year. And they're going to be performing the entire album at that show at the Rose Bowl, in addition to lots of other U2 songs. And we've got tickets for you all week on the Kevin and Bean Show and throughout the day at K-Rock. Matt Bellany is here in studio with us on the Kevin and Bean Show, as he always is, as we break down the Golden Globes. They were last night at the Beverly Hilton. So the show ends around what, a little after 8 o'clock, I want to say, right?
Yeah, about.
And then take me through your night. What happens next?
So as I mentioned, the great thing about the Globes is that all the parties are in one building. So I went to a viewing party for Fox, and you know, after that ended, all the OJ people came in, and Ryan Murphy and the, you know, Travolta, the cast of OJ. So you get to see them, and they were in good spirits. You know, they won big. Sarah Paulson won, and
but they had to have been so disappointed with Sterling K. Brown and Courtney B. Vance, neither of them winning their categories, because they were both so great in that show.
That's true, but you know what? It's the Globes, so people know that it's kind of a crapshoot, and you know they got their Emmy love already.
Right.
Donald Glover, that's an FX show, so they were there. Donald Glover was a huge winner last night. That show, you know, winning for him and winning for the show, and they were all there. And then after that, you know, it's sort of a smorgasbord of parties, and it's kind of the stars go to the parties that are hosted by the winners. So usually HBO has like the biggest and best party,
yeah.
And they still had a really nice party, you know, poolside, but they got completely shut out. So
yeah, I was just trying to think in my mind of anything that they won last night.
No, 14 nominations, zero wins.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's
and
the first, right?
First in a long, yeah. long time. And so that party wasn't that great. Sarah Jessica Parker was there, but, you know, not a lot of stars. And, you know, then a lot of people gravitated towards Netflix, towards InStyle, towards the Amazon party, which was held in this ballroom, had The Roots playing, which was amazing. I mean, Matt Damon
Jeff Bezos was there, right?
Jeff Bezos was there, yeah. Matt Damon was on the dance floor, like Ben Affleck, Casey Affleck. it was a good party. It was a good party. They had, they did it right. And, you know, getting a live band there, it's funny because it's like, you know, all of these Golden Globes people and, you know, industry types typically don't really party at these parties. Yeah. No dancing, no, you know, it's more about networking, but people were on the dance floor going nuts, like, and they played the hits.
Wow. It's amazing Prince, how great the Roots everything. Are.
Oh, they're like the ultimate party band. They're really
fun. Really are. Matt, I'm concerned about the Stranger Things kids.
You know what? I am too, actually. I you know, that the girl who plays 11, mm-hmm. Millie Bobby Brown. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She is at every party and mm-hmm. she's there late.
Thank you. I said this months ago that I was concerned they were just getting too overdone. They're everywhere. Let them be children.
I know. And luckily she is aging, you know, well.
She's 11.
I know, but the book.
Matt,
but
you just. The no, no, meaning just like. Out of your mouth.
No, I'm just saying the.
Wait,
the,
she doesn't need Botox?
No. I'm not that. I'm just saying the boys. The boys are going through their, you know, awkward time, and they're doing it on red carpets.
That's
like,
true.
These kids look like awkward preteens.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, normal, that's awkward preteens. Yeah. And it's just funny because we saw them on Stranger Things, and now you see them, and they're like, oh, they look kind of different, you know?
Yeah. I heard Justin couldn't even do the reshoots for the first one because his voice had changed so much.
Right. Aww. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how they you know, doing season two.
Yeah, well, I'm worried about them for both of those reasons that we kind of hit on. One is that I feel like they're really burning the candle at both ends at every single event, on every single TV show, doing everything. Although it was nice that they brought Barb back in the open, in the La La Land open. I thought that was awesome.
That was fun.
And the other thing I'm nervous about is you have a very small window as a kid actor to be adorable. And then exactly what you're saying. And then you get into that awkward phase. And I don't know what happens. Like, how many of these kids have a career after 15? I don't know.
It's a crapshoot. I will say that, you know, the industry, the people in the industry are betting on 11. Betting on Millie Bobby Brown because
she's a talent. For
she
sure.
the maturity that she had in the show and the fact that she did so much by saying so little that they're thinking that she is the one that's going to break out and be.
And
a,
she's
an
also
actor.
Making the adorable YouTube videos, and she's also. Have you noticed she's been putting in people's ear? Hey, I'd like to play Princess Leia in an upcoming origin story movie. I mean, she's kind of like putting it out there that she wants to be cast in all these things, and she's cute enough to maybe pull it off and have people listen.
Yeah, who knows? She has like crazy stage parents too. So I don't. Uh-oh. We'll see what happens there. But you know, I hope season two is good.
I do too. All right, let me ask you another thing about the party with Matt Bellany here from the Hollywood Reporter on K-Rock, and that is, what about look? These people are all in showbiz, and a lot of them know each other. But there are some people that are legends. And what's it like when a Warren Beatty shows up at a party, for instance? Does everybody want to be with Warren Beatty? Are people taking selfies with stars that they admire? What are they doing at these parties?
The selfie problem is out of control. And honestly, that's why I think a lot of these stars leave these parties and go to private dinners and agency parties. I mean, you should have seen Joan Collins. At some of these parties, Joan Collins was there, and she had a handler with her, and people were just coming up to her, no shame, you know, got to have a selfie with Joan Collins. And she, you know, she was nice about it, but then it just became a swarm.
Yeah, it's no fun at that point.
Yeah, you do one, you have to do them all.
And some of the parties are better than others. You know, the thing about the Beverly Hilton is that you're walking around, and there are people there who stay at the Beverly Hilton just so they can be there Golden Globes weekend and stand there and take photos of all the celebrities as they walk by.
Oh.
So, you know, it's almost like it's a celebrity petting zoo where you are standing there. There's like a rope and there's all these, you know, gawkers inside the hotel trying to get their shot and, you know, come on over, take a selfie with us. So
how do you feel as a journalist and an industry insider? Are you the kind of guy who won't go up and start talking to some of these stars at the party, or will you do it?
Oh, I'll talk to anyone. I mean, especially if I know them or have met them, but I don't do the selfie thing.
Right.
I draw the line. I have taken photos with, I think, exactly two celebrities in my life. One being, you'll appreciate, one was Oprah.
Well, no one can blame you there.
There's a legend. And
that's
the other
your Christmas card that year, I hope. Sorry, Mrs. Bellany.
Yeah. The other was Larry David, who I could not resist.
Yeah.
you know, personal favorite.
Was he nice
favorite.
Or was he put off?
He was Larry David.
Yes.
He was like, oh, oh. And the selfie, and oh, and what are we doing?
All right, Matt, I know you guys were all over the show last night. What's the Hollywood Reporter coverage like for today that people should look for?
We've got a ton of stuff. We've got, you know, things you didn't see on TV. We've got a breakdown of the Fallon monologue or lack thereof. We've got all the winners and impact on the Oscars. So THR.com all day today.
You guys do great work with covering the industry day in, day out, and it's always fun to see your Golden Globe stuff with great pictures, too. Matt, always a pleasure. Go home and get some sleep, my friend. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks.
Weezer on K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Very excited about debuting our new feature, Ali's Conspiracy Corner, coming up just after 9 o'clock. You think that was really Weezer that we were just listening to?
It was. It was. Not everything's a conspiracy. Only the great stuff.
The ultimate getaway prize package to Crested Butte Mountain Ski Resort in Colorado is what's up for you right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ali, you used to live in Park City.
Mm-hmm.
These little ski towns, man, they're
magic.
Beautiful and they're magical and they're fun.
Yeah.
This is a mountain town that has some of the best skiing in North America, and we are giving away a trip right now from Alaska Airlines with round-trip airfare from LAX to Crested Butte, Colorado, 3 nights of hotel accommodations, lift tickets, and ski rentals, and it's as simple as you just picking up the phone and giving us a call right now at 1-800-520-1067. Caller 20 if you want to get your skiing on at Crested Butte. 1-800-520-1067. All right. Driver's license photos in the news.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a guy in Maine where your crazy family is from. He is an ordained pagan priest. His name is Phelan Moonsong. Phelan? What do you think? P-H-E-L-A-N.
I call him P. Moonsong.
All right. Mr. Yeah. Moonsong wanted to get his photo taken for his driver's license while wearing goat horns on his head.
Yay!
Now, so he shows up for his picture, and they say, "I'm sorry, sir, you can't. No props. It's just a driver's license photo. We just want to see your face." And he appealed. He said, "Look, they don't get in the way. They don't obstruct my face, and I wear the goat horns all the time. So if you want it to look like me when I'm out driving, you better put it like that in the photo, because unless I'm sleeping or in the shower, I'm wearing goat horns." It's his spiritual antenna, he says. And right there, I thought, I got too many questions. Dave, get Mr. Moonsong on the phone, and we've got him joining us from Augusta, Maine, right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Phelan, how are you?
It's Phelan.
Phelan, I'm so sorry.
Okay. That's okay. Good morning.
I've not seen that name before. Mr. Moonsong, thank you for joining us so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Moonsong you've seen before. That's odd.
Well, that one was a little easier to...
the confusing part, but Moonsong you're familiar with. I find that refreshing. Usually it's the other way around.
Okay, fair enough. Are you wearing your goat horns right now on your head?
Of course. Yes, of course I am. Yes, and because they are my spiritual antenna.
And what is that? What's that mean? What do you mean, the spiritual antenna?
Well, they keep me in tune with nature and with the planet, and mm-hmm. With the life force that springs through all living things, which is the pagan belief. And also, they also introduce others to paganism, and they start the conversation, so I can share my faith and my beliefs with people when they see the goat horns. You'd be surprised, but it's quite a conversation starter.
Well, I bet it is, and I don't mean in any way to disparage your faith if this is something you believe in, but I mean, you look like a crazy man walking around Augusta, Maine with goat horns.
Yeah.
I don't believe that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Lady, I appreciate that.
I just think you look like a guy with goat horns.
That's what I am, pretty much, for the most part. Day and night, unless I'm sleeping or bathing, I do wear the goat horns at all time, and when they initially told me that I couldn't wear them in the driver's license photo here in the great state of Maine, I have to admit, I was pretty mad.
Fine. Just surprised by that. So you appealed, and your argument was, look, if it were a nun, you'd let her wear a habit. If it was a Sikh, he could wear a turban.
Right.
Same thing for you.
Yes, it's freedom of religion in this country should protect any religious choice I make regarding accoutrements, if you will, that have spiritual or religious significance, and I'm just glad that they finally saw things my way. Everybody okay?
Sir, it seems like when you say certain words, you sound a little bit like an actual goat.
I would be aware of.
You're not hearing
like
it. Okay, right. No, I'm sorry. I might have picked up on something.
Well, I heard
maybe our connection is bad.
Well, I heard
something. Maybe
it sounded a little goaty to me too, though. I got to be honest, Phelan.
It sounded goaty, did it?
It sounded a little bit goaty.
I can't imagine that, but I apologize, and I'll try to keep aware of it in the future. I just
do you have, and again, no disrespect, but do you have...
I can tell you're full of respect, by the way. So far, it's been nothing but.
Do you have a family or friends? And...
Of course, I have a lovely wife.
Do you?
I've got a beautiful daughter and a son as well.
Uh-huh.
And even my own parents, my mom and my dad, they're both still alive.
And what do they think about this? What do they think about your goat horns on the top of your head? Phelan?
They're not huge fans.
They're not huge what?
They're huge fans.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ on a Monday morning. Next hour, between 9 and 10, we'll give away some tickets to go see the Clippers versus the Oklahoma City Thunder at Staples Center, plus a great grand prize to tell you about. So if you're a Clippers basketball fan, stick around. That's on the way. Ralph is here now.
That sounds good.
Are you eating?
Maybe.
Are you picking up the Kevin slack here since he's out today?
Yes.
The licorice?
I got caught by surprise. with some red vine in my mouth, and red vine don't go down easy. You gotta put the work in. You can't just swallow
can't
red
rush.
Vine.
I mean,
you gotta chew it up.
Yeah,
you gotta work. It's gotta be masticated.
Well, first of all, you can't do that.
I'm a big masticator, by the way.
Are you?
Oh,
how often?
Way back. Oh, I masticate 4, 5, 6 times a day.
Yo, go blind.
How? All right, we'll finish that up and give us another round of the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin Bean Show.
There, I swallowed much better. It is Monday, so we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office on a Monday. That's what we do. Rogue One continues to be number one. Fourth week in a row, $22 million this weekend. Made it number one. Hidden Figures. Story of the African-American women geniuses behind the NASA launch of John Glenn. Was second at the box office with $21.8 million. Sing came in at number three. Underworld Blood Wars. Oh, Blood Wars. I ain't got a chance to see it this weekend, but I will.
I know Dave saw it. He loved it.
Yeah, it's good. Good stuff. $13 million made it number four. La La Land was fifth. Passengers, Why Him? Moana, Fences, and Assassin's Creed were your top 10 films at the box office. Speaking of La La Land, big night for that film last night at the Golden Globe Awards, where it picked up pretty much everything you could in the category of musical or comedy motion picture. Best Film, Best Director, Best Screenplay, Best Lead Actor with Ryan Gosling, Best Actress with Emma Stone. When it came to dramatic films, Casey Affleck won for his work in Manchester by the Sea, and Isabelle Huppert for her work in a film called Elle, which I have not heard of. And I believe Oscar snubbed when it comes to the foreign film category. But that was
really?
Directed. Yeah, so there's already some controversy this holiday, this award season. Viola Davis won for Fences. Best animated film was Zootopia. When it came to television, The Crown, the story of Queen Elizabeth II and her relationship with Tubby McSmoke-a-Lot.
Winston Churchill.
Yep. Yes.
That's the name we know him by.
Well, his friends called him Tubby McSmoke-a-Lot. Well, I won for Best TV Series Drama. Claire Foy won for her work in that series. Billy Bob Thornton won for his work in Goliath. Atlanta. And Donald Glover picked up awards for their work on that television series. People vs. O.J. Simpson won for Best Limited Series. Tracy Ellis Ross won for her work in Blackish. Tom Hiddleston, Olivia Colman, and Hugh Laurie all won for The Night Manager. And Sarah Paulson won for People vs. O.J. Simpson. Those are the major awards. Of course, Meryl Streep won a Lifetime Achievement Award. She took some shots at our soon-to-be president, Donald Trump. And he shot back this morning, calling her overrated. That's just silly. Aren't you just setting yourself up to look like a dork if you say that Meryl Streep is overrated?
I mean, in that she's the most awarded actress of all time.
And universally accepted as one of the greats.
One of the greats, yeah.
You can't. You just shouldn't. First of all, you shouldn't be responding to anything anybody says in an award show anyway. You're going to be the freaking president. Anyway, he tweeted... Meryl Streep, one of the most overrated actresses in Hollywood. She doesn't know me, but attacked last night at the Golden Globes. Trump added that Streep was angry because she was a Hillary flunky who lost big. And so it goes.
I just... Right?
Right.
Right? Right.
What a low bar that I'm actually going to be pretty happy when he doesn't respond to things like this. You're like, oh, he didn't respond. That's
when
awesome.
When is that
going to
happen, do you think?
Don't know.
When do you expect that to start happening?
Not sure.
I can't imagine.
At some point, he's got to be so busy he can't respond to everything that somebody says.
Shouldn't
about
he be that busy now?
Yes.
Especially now, getting a cabinet, getting
putting
everyone together.
Briefings, yeah. Learning how to be the president before you start doing the job.
You think.
Shouldn't and what's that time that, be now?
And what's that thing he knows about hacking that nobody else knows that
you'll
one day
yeah,
he's going to tell
us? Find that
you'll
out.
Find out in a tweet sometime tomorrow. He'll drop it. He'll drop some knowledge. Speaking of tweets, Mark Hamill, by the way, has started to record Donald Trump's tweets as the Joker. Many of you may know that Hamill has voiced Batman's villain, the Joker, since the early 1990s in Batman the Animated Series and throughout. And someone, in fact, comedy writer Matt Oswalt, Patton's brother, who's very funny in his own right, suggested that Trump's New Year's tweet sounded like something the Joker might say before trying to polish off everyone in Gotham. And Hamill picked up on that challenge and decided to voice it as his Joker and has put it on his Twitter. And it's very funny. He promises this is number one, so hopefully there'll be more. But here is Mark Hamill doing the Joker, reading Trump's tweets.
Happy New Year to all, including to my many enemies and those who have fought me and lost so badly. They just don't know what to do. Love.
Wait for it. Come on! How great is that?
That's good.
And terrifying.
Meryl Streep overrated.
Can't wait for that one. That's what I want to
hear. By the way, it was just last week that Donald Trump was on the Twitter complaining about the ratings of Celebrity Apprentice, too, right?
Yes.
Just a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Led Zeppelin guitarist Jimmy Page is 73 years old today. Actor J.K. Simmons turns 62. Dave Matthews. Right? Come on. How can you not love Dave Matthews?
I'm fine. I'm fine with Dave Matthews.
He's pleasant. He's enjoyable.
He is.
We used to have him on this show quite a bit back in the day, and he was always a very entertaining, likable guest.
50 years old today. A.J. McLean from Backstreet Boys is 39, and actress Nina Dobrev celebrates her 28th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Allie, you think someone there at the Beverly Hilton pulled the plug on the teleprompter, and that's why Jimmy Fallon couldn't do the speech?
Right.
Listen, who's behind it?
It's a lot of thoughts.
Kellyanne
was it
Conway?
The Russians?
A lot of
Kellyanne
thoughts.
Kellyanne Conway.
We'll find out soon enough, you guys.
And soon then enough. That's when Kim Kardashian was getting her butt implants removed.
Listen, a lot of thoughts.
A lot of thoughts. Don't make them close to being real things,
well,
though.
When I map them out, you might start questioning some
stuff. I don't question.
A little bit.
Your
little
maps,
bit.
Your maps are like a bad Thomas guide.
How dare you?
Here's what we're learning about Ali, is there is nothing that can happen that, no matter how straightforward or obvious it is, that she won't figure out a way to twist it and turn it into some sort of conspiracy
theory. Here's the thing. It all started out, we were talking about dating, good first dates, that type of thing. Oh, you should bring her on a hike. No, you shouldn't. Because you bring someone on a hike, they're going to get murdered. It
doesn't
science.
Happen, though.
Absolutely.
People hike every day and don't get murdered.
I've been fighting with my wife. I know what to do. I'll take her on a cruise to murder her.
See,
this is what happens,
this is
you
where
guys.
The conspiracy thing comes from with Ali, I think, is an overdose of Dateline NBC.
It's all changed.
Oh, that's what it is.
Too much of it, and it warps your brain, and you start seeing the whole world that way.
Or,
nothing is as it appears on the surface.
Or do I start seeing truths where other people would just kind of brush
look,
right over.
Allie, I'm not saying no one's ever been murdered on a hike or no one's ever been murdered on a cruise ship, but millions and millions and millions of people every single year do those things and don't get murdered.
That's what they want you to believe.
Or does
but
that
it's
mean
true.
That those people's murders simply didn't happen, Bean?
Thank you, Keith Morrison.
Morrison just narrating her entire life.
I like
her
it.
Conspiracies.
I like it. Listen, do I question a lot? Yes. The Tom Hiddleston, Taylor Swift romance.
Yeah.
Still don't believe it was real.
No, you told us there was a movie being made.
No, I think they were making like a long form, like a documentary type thing.
Right.
About
no
paparazzi.
One has seen.
About it's still they're still making it.
So where is
they're
it?
Not
yeah,
making
maybe,
it?
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe they're not.
Yeah.
Isn't
maybe.
It possible?
possible that they just met and they went out for a month and broke up like people do every day?
Absolutely.
But who would go out dating and then stop dating? No See? One I can think of.
Yeah, it doesn't happen. Doesn't happen at all. And maybe I'm off on this, but of course, Kim Kardashian, the whole robbery in Paris, she disappeared. She went off social media. She was just going to take a little bit of stock
she
of her life.
She was distraught. She feared for her life.
Absolutely. Until you see some questionable pictures, which showed a lot less butt. Has she been taking this time off as a great time to get those butt implants taken out? Just saying.
Why would she have them taken out, by the way,
because
when that's her moneymaker?
Because they were looking way too big, and she's gotten so much thinner that her legs were looking like little sticks with a crazy butt on the back.
So you're not suggesting that the robbery was fake
no,
or anything?
No, not at
you're
all.
You're just saying she took
real.
Advantage of the timing.
Absolutely.
To get surgery that she didn't want to admit. Mm-hmm.
Seems strange that at one point, baby got back. Then baby got backless.
See? Keith Morrison gets it. But I can understand how a lot of people listening are thinking, well, she's nuts.
Yes,
she clearly, she's clearly overthinking some stuff. That's why I thought my first ever Conspiracy Corner would be something basic. Something I think we all, if we really think about it, could really be true.
All right. Give me some reverb here, Chip. It's time for Allie's Conspiracy Corner.
Hey, come on. If you're going to sell it, would you please?
One more time. Ladies and gentlemen, please join us for Allie's Conspiracy Corner.
All right.
You're not good.
I don't love it. I mean, it's...
Should we have Keith Morrison do it?
Please,
okay,
Keith.
Okay, Keith Morrison, do it.
And now it's time for Allie's Conspiracy Corner.
See? He makes serious. Everything better.
You know you're going to have to follow around Allie all the time now and do Keith Morrison for her.
Seriously. Between Keith Morrison and Josh Mankiewicz, my whole life just wrapped up right there.
A three-way.
Maybe Andrew Canning come in every now and then.
All right, what
anyway,
do you got?
Anyway, all right, here's the thing.
Okay.
You know you go into Starbucks.
Yeah,
you
true.
Say to your barista, I'd like a double foam latte, decaf, blah, blah, blah. You do the whole thing, and then that barista says, okay, what's your name?
Mm-hmm.
You give them your name.
Right.
Christopher.
Okay.
They write the name down.
Right.
A few minutes goes by.
Uh-huh.
Christopher! You go up to get your coffee.
Right.
How the hell did they misspell Christopher? How the hell are they misspelling all of these seemingly... easy to spell names.
So you're saying it's K-R-I-S-F-O-E-R-R-R?
Absolutely. Just something just so far off. Annie all of a sudden is A-N-E-Y. Like, what is happening?
Because they're dealing with several people a minute in a busy, hurried
really?
Environment, and they're not
really
spending a lot of time spell checking.
Is that what it is?
Because all they need to do is make it close enough for you to know which cup is yours.
Really?
I'm guessing there's another theory coming our way about this.
They are doing it... on purpose.
Oh, my Lord.
They're misspelling your name on purpose?
Misspelling your name, because what do people do when they get that coffee cup? They're like, oh, gee, look at that. This is crazy. Let me post about it on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, and then other people start posting theirs. People are like, oh, my name's Jenny. What could they misspell it as? I must go into Starbucks. It is brilliant marketing.
Oh,
kudos you, Starbucks. Who's with me?
Apparently, the corporate offices in Seattle take baristas and put them in spelling names wrong class.
And listen, I've talked to some baristas.
No,
have
you haven't.
Have you now.
You have no one on the record.
They will not go on record because they will get in trouble. However, I have heard that some of them do this to keep themselves.
A lot of people are saying.
Okay,
here we go.
That they do it to entertain themselves. So that's
which is it? Is it for publicity or
well,
for entertainment?
That's what I've got to get to the bottom of. All right, we sprung this on me on Friday. I haven't had a lot of time to research with that toddler and the dresser thing. I can't.
So you think that you think there's a good possibility that they intentionally misspell your name because they think then the customer will put basically give free advertising to Starbucks
I'm
up on their social media?
I'm 95% sure.
Sadly, Starbucks has no money in their own advertising campaigns. They have to count on the kindness of irate customers to get the word out.
That's the whole thing. Any publicity is good publicity, especially when you're just joking at something fun. Like, look at how they misspelled my name. This is crazy. And that, seriously, anytime I see someone post a picture of a cup with some
How often does that happen?
Like 7-8 times a day.
No, it doesn't.
7-8 times a day. Every comment under it is, oh, you'll never believe what mine said. And it's working.
But they've been doing this. They've been spelling names wrong for as long as there's been Starbucks.
No.
So why were they doing it 20 years ago when Twitter wasn't around?
Great question, Ralph.
Thank you.
They weren't. They weren't writing names.
I guarantee you that's not true.
I did talk to a barista.
No, you didn't.
This is actually true. My friend was a barista at Starbucks, and I said, just give me the scoop. Do you write the names down? He goes, we didn't actually do that when I was working there. It's been in the past like 10 years.
That isn't, simply
it's true.
Isn't true.
It's
I used
true.
To go to Starbucks back in the day and they would write your name on a cup.
Well, I don't believe that.
Well, it's
no,
true.
Ralph, come on. Who are you talking to?
Apparently, the radio boy had to lie about Starbucks. Everyone knows they didn't even have cups back 20 years ago. You drank coffee out of your hand.
I'm just saying, if we all really think about it, it's brilliant. Way to go, Starbucks.
The more I think about it, the dumber it sounds, actually.
There's that.
Yeah, there is.
You're listening to world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Ralph is here for the showbiz beat, but first, these Clippers turn out to be pretty good, Ralph.
Oh, the Clappers.
L.A. Clippers versus the Oklahoma City Thunder happening at Staples Center on January the 16th, which is next week, by the way. We're giving away tickets right now at 1-800-520-1067 for caller 20 if you want to go see the Clippers. Plus, you're qualified to win a grand prize we do on Friday morning, which is access to the pregame warm-ups. You can take photos in the Clippers court, Lexus Club passes, and parking, and so much more. So this is a great experience if you're a Clippers fan.
Nothing gets in our way. Boom!
Got it.
Keep coming. Hardcore. The hardcore Clippers.
Right,
that's
you.
Us.
Thank you, Mr. Bomber. And don't forget, by the way, if you retweet or repost any of the Kevin and Bean tweets and posts about the Clippers and getting your favorite Clipper player to the All-Star game, that's another way to enter. You can also win tickets.
I don't understand that last way to enter at all.
Well, you're on the Kevin and Bean social media, and you see Dave tweeting out about the getting your favorite Clipper to the All-Star game. You just retweet or repost that, and then that's an entry. That's it. Also makes you eligible for this grand prize.
Much clearer.
That's what they say, right?
Ralph is here now. Time for a final look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
I heard you guys talking about the Golden Globes moments ago. Well, let's not forget, there were high parts, too. Right?
What do you mean?
There was some hilarious moments on that show, like Jimmy Fallon doing his Sting impression before Sting came out to announce an award.
He doesn't do impressions, by the way.
I'm an illegal alien. I'm presenting an award. He said something like that, and then Sting! And then he would yell someone's name. That's how he would do that.
I left that one out.
That's funny.
Okay.
He was not a great host.
Chastain and the Red Mane. Chastain and the Mane.
Cypress Hill should sue.
Chastain and the Red Mane.
They should sue.
Questlove looked embarrassed when that was going on, having participated in that. But there were some genuinely funny moments, like Steve Carell and Kristen Wiig.
They were so funny.
Right? They were giving away the award for Best Animated Film. Zootopia took home the award. But they were talking about how everyone loves animated films and the fond memories they had in their childhood from animated films.
Do you remember the first time you saw an animated movie?
I do, actually, very well. It's kind of a big deal. I was 6 years old, and my dad took me to see Fantasia. It was astounding. The music, the spectacle of the whole thing, it was kind of a life-changing experience.
Yeah, it's a classic.
And as we were leaving the theater, there, standing in the lobby, was my mom. And that was the moment she told my dad that she wanted a divorce. I never saw my father again after that day.
Yeah, and then Kristen goes on with her own story about how she put her dogs down the same day she saw Bambi, and it was so funny. They're
and maybe
so good.
Bambi wasn't the right movie to see that
day. Yeah, and it might not have been best. Didn't take our minds off it, really. Yeah,
just deadpan the whole time.
And then when they came back from the cutaway where they were doing the nominees, they were like holding each other, sort of crying on each other's shoulder. It was very, very funny.
That was
head and shoulders above anything else in terms of entertainment value on the show.
Or yeah. was it?
It was.
Or was it?
It was the only great thing on the whole episode.
Well, then perhaps you weren't watching very carefully when Ryan Gosling won his Golden Globe, Bean.
Now, I saw that.
You were?
Mm-hmm.
Were you watching closely? Did you notice in the background?
Is this the kiss?
How Ryan Gosling was standing up going to get his award, and as he walked to the stage, Ryan Reynolds and his buddy Andrew Garfield decided to pull a little focus as they started making out at the table behind Ryan Gosling as he walked to the stage. You may have missed it if you weren't looking for it, but now you can find the still pictures and video online. It's a very, very funny moment where Reynolds, as he's losing out to Ryan Gosling for La La Land versus Deadpool, just turns to Andrew Garfield, and they just start making out at the table. As Ryan Gosling is making his way to the stage. It's very
funny. Oh, that's Ryan.
It's very funny.
Very funny.
But there's only one good moment.
I'm
wrong,
saying,
sir, I say
that
to
was
you.
Head and shoulders above everything else was the Steve Carell, Kristen Wiig.
There
that's
was
all
no
saying.
Head, there was no shoulders.
And I want them to host kisses. Next year.
I'd like to see Ryan Reynolds and Andrew Garfield host next year.
That's not a bad choice either.
And kiss.
But we all agree. We all agree that Jimmy Fallon should be watching next year's show from prison.
Oh, well, I don't know about that. That's a little stronger than I expected. Let's take a look at the weekend box office. Rogue One continues to be number one. Fourth week in a row, $22 million. Kept at the top of the heap. Hidden Figures debuted with $21.8 million.
Hidden Fences.
No, that was incorrect last night. Oh. They made that mistake. Who was that? Jenna Bush? Is that she the one who screwed that up?
Sweet Spirit. Yeah.
And then Michael Keaton as well. He also did it.
Yeah. Michael Keaton.
The Keats.
Oh.
How good does Founder look? I haven't seen yet. But
how hot
it.
Is he still?
I'm sorry, what happened now?
Michael Keaton.
Are you
is
okay?
Just so.
Can we get a thermometer?
Everything about him
for
is
the
perfect.
Young lady, so she could just I have love a little. Him. He's a talented. He's great. We love him, but he's
handsome
not,
as a day is
he's
long.
Not a, he's not a hunky guy where ladies go, oh my
yes.
goodness, give me a little, cut me off a slice
totally.
Of Keaton.
I would move to Montana or Wyoming, wherever he has a ranch, just hang out with him. Yeah, Michael Keaton.
Yeah, you want to hang out with him because he's funny, but you don't want to have you don't want any you want anything in the bed.
His eyes are so piercing. Yeah, I want a lot in the bed with Michael Keaton.
Oh my lord!
This is not the first time I've said it. He's on there, top five.
What about your tweet last night about Pierce Brosnan? Was that a good
amazing.
Or a bad? Was that a good or a bad tweet?
I put flames. He was fire. He was so hot. 63
right.
years old.
That's what I'm saying. He's a good-looking fella, right?
Ellie has a lot of geriatric feelings lately.
She does. She likes him well-worn.
Is there anyone under 60 you find attractive
Do
anymore?
Do you shop anywhere but, like, Goodwill and other thrift stores for old, used things? You ever it buy does. Anything fresh, new?
In retrospect, it does seem like I might
have
some daddy issues.
Have you ever taken one out of the package, Ellie? I think
you,
is what we're asking.
You like the antiques. That's for sure.
I am naughty.
Yeah,
right.
That's true.
Yeah, it's true. Her and Jerry Lewis. Remember her and Jerry Lewis? How she was,
was
all hot for Jerry Lewis.
That's
and now
not something I want to revisit.
She finally got together. She went to Vegas. She flies to Vegas, which, by the way, hasn't changed a bit since 1947.
Hasn't.
And she got off the plane. She went right to Jerry Lewis's place.
I don't think
and
we
she
need
seduced
to...
him because she loves the old man.
That's not what happened.
Allie, K-Rock microphones were there, I'll have you know.
I'll show you some material, you'll know.
Oh, God.
Do it well.
Oh, yeah.
No.
G-g-ga!
Dusty Cowtown.
Oh.
Yep.
Right. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's great.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Just as hard.
Smell it.
It was terrific.
Yes.
All right, clean it out of here.
Lady Gaga!
Get a day job.
Here's the thing. If
he's 90.
If more young dudes would do the Dusty Countdown.
They got to learn that move.
That's the move.
Got to learn
right.
it.
That's right.
That is disturbing. I am naughty.
Stop. Congratulations to Pia Toscano, our buddy Pia. Of course, voice of the LA Kings. Sings the national anthem for them on the reg, as they say. Also, she was in the 11th season of American Idol. Loved her on that show. She got married over the weekend. Congratulations. Oh. She and her husband, Jimmy R.O. Smith, got married on Saturday. So.
He's like a dancer or something like that?
I don't know.
All right.
I know he's got two middle names. Jimmy R. period O. period
and
Smith.
And he wins at life, apparently.
Apparently, because he's got the Pia.
Right.
Maren Dungey just texted me a picture of her with Pierce Brosnan. Maren call me after the show. What did he smell like? Oh, wow.
Aren't this becoming Allie's live commentary on her texts?
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
Anybody else looking forward to the Chris Brown Soulja Boy fight?
Not even a little
Come
bit.
On.
None. Zero.
Soulja Boy.
Is so stupid.
Superman. Chris Brown. They're going to resolve their Twitter beef in a three-round boxing match.
But isn't it a fake Twitter beef just to publicize this fight?
I thought it was the other way around. I thought the beef started first and then the fight came.
Well, maybe. I haven't really been paying close attention to it. But look, the only upside is if Chris Brown gets hit in the face, I guess I'm for that.
Tyson's training. Mike Tyson is training Chris Brown.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. This will be the first time, by the way, Chris Brown ever threw a punch at a man. So this is an historic occasion. We get a chance to watch history being made. Thanks, Jerry. See, Jerry gets me. Today's celebrity birthdays. Nina DeBrev is 28 years old today. Backstreet Boys singer A.J. McLean celebrates his 39th birthday. Dave Matthews turns 50. J.K. Simmons is 62. And Led Zeppelin guitarist Jimmy Page is 73. Finally, somebody's Allie's age, 73. Right up your alley.
Robert Plant, yeah.
Allie.
Yeah.
10 more years. You can go after Jimmy Page.
Jimmy Page, a little more seasoning. He'll be ready to go. Pierce Brosnan.
But Michael Keaton is a good-looking guy. I can't... That's not something weird.
Yes, it is.
Michael Keaton?
Talented, outstanding, intense,
handsome.
Funny. He's got it all going on.
Oh,
but no one ever
so
watched
handsome.
Mr. Mom and went, oh, boy, I'd like to spend some time on the couch with him.
I hate to beg to differ.
I hate to beg to differ,
Me too. Me too. Well set,
do?
Lady. Yeah, I'd do him.
Pierce Brosnan, though. Yes. Yes. Miss Holt. Yes. Remington Steele.
Yeah, I got it.
Yes. Yes. Why does he do that all the time?
I don't know, but you're creeping me out.
Yes. Yes. That's all he does. His entire acting performances. Yes. Q. Yes. M.
Well, apparently it's working with the ladies, Ralph.
Apparently it is. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, sir. Hey, on your drive home today, why not listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour here on K-Rock, a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. We got a big show tomorrow. We got more Clippers tickets you can win for the OKC game. We also have another trip to Crested Butte, Colorado for the skiing. More tickets for you two at the Rose Bowl. Two things of interest to you, Mr. Garman.
Yes.
One is your friend Petros Papadakis will be here at 8 a.m. It's time for the second look at The Bachelor this season with The Bachelor
Report.
We're on
the journey.
We are on the journey. We finally get a chance to see what the dolphin girl looks like not wearing a costume, too, by the way.
Oh, that's right.
Wasn't that weird that she never took it off the whole night she was
well,
at that
he
party?
He told her. He said, you're not taking that off the whole night. He gave her specific
cracked
instructions
because right.
he thought it was funny. Yeah.
So we'll see if she and others survive another week of that show. And the lovely Caitlin Olson will be here in studio with us tomorrow. She, of course, you know from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. She's very funny, and she's the star of this new series called The Mick that looks good, too. That's all tomorrow right here on K-Rock.